You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hey guys, do you like heavy metal? Do you like video games, comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Metal Geeks. Time to rock out with your geek out. Here are your hosts, Carrie the Metal Geek, Dave, and George. Geek it out, fellas.
Welcome, everyone, to episode number 167 of the Metal Geeks podcast. I am one of your hosts. I am Carrie the Metal Geek, along with...
George motherfucking Tripsis.
And special guest...
Justin motherfucking Corbett.
Oh, yeah! You got a new nickname now.
Wow.
I'm piggybacking.
We do have a special guest. Dave cannot be here tonight. He's getting ready for an event. So we have our good friend, Mr. Sean Bellinger.
Yes, yes, here I am.
Welcome to the show. This is
Thank
your first
you.
Appearance.
I've been wanting to do this for a while. We've been talking about it for a while, right?
Yes, this is we have a good topic this evening because, as everyone knows, Comic-Con just happened.
What?
You didn't know that?
I didn't know.
Well, just to let you know, Comic-Con just happened this past weekend. There was a lot of news. Did you know that? Yeah, a little bit.
A whole lot of news.
I have to refer to the sheet here, the Bible that you printed.
The book.
The book. So let's talk to Sean before we get into this episode.
Right on, right on.
Sean, how are you?
I'm doing good. Doing really good, guys. Thanks for having me. This is fantastic.
I'm joking.
That's okay. All right, bye. I'm leaving.
Let's talk about your background. You have a background in film, visual effects, and in video games.
Yes,
let's talk about that.
Absolutely, yeah. So I've been doing this game development, video production, animation thing for about 20 years. So
very cool.
Even as a child, and people who knew me in school will tell you I was always doodling and drawing video game characters and comic books and things like that. So that's in my blood. You know, it's been a lot of fun, and I've been blessed to be able to do a lot of that. Excuse me, to do that professionally. So it's been great. Yep.
What exactly did you do in video game development?
So, in game development, I worked for a company called 6 Foot Games in Houston, Texas. And I was a lead 3D artist on our AAA title, Dreadnought. I also did a little bit of work on our game, Rhyme. Just a little bit.
So. Rhyme was great.
I'm glad you liked it. Glad you liked it. We partnered up with Tequila Works in Spain. They came to us after having a little trouble getting it produced with another producer.
What else have they done?
They did
Guacamelee.
They did.
So racist of you, Gary.
No, there's a zombie game. There's a zombie game that they did, and I feel bad that I don't remember.
Don't worry about it.
So anyway, there's a zombie game that they did. So so they came to us.
There's a lot of zombie games, so it's okay.
Yeah. So this was actually a pretty cool side scroll. But they came to us with the game partially completed, and we decided to be their producer and to help them finish out production. Of course, that kind of happened while I was working on Dreadnought, so I didn't get to do any direct work on Rhyme. But it was pretty cool. So, and aside from Dreadnought and Rhyme, I've done some smaller games with a company called Revelation Interactive, one of which was a game for the Jim Henson Company for their Sid the Science Kid property. So, yeah, we did a little. It was a game for children on one of those Android tablets for kids. So, it was
cool.
Part of the software that
I think
was already
I know this too. I've never. Played it myself.
Yeah.
How did you get started? And what drew you to game design, I guess?
I mean, again, growing up drawing this stuff. So, you know, I'm kind of old. So playing Atari and old school Nintendo Entertainment System and, you know, wanting to draw Mario and Pac-Man and all that. You know, I wanted to know how those games are made. And, you know, being from Indianapolis, Indiana, it was like, how does someone from the Midwest get to make games like this? You know, I didn't know what was involved in that. So kind of put it on hold because I literally didn't know what the track was. So years later, I moved to Texas and learned that I could actually go to school to learn how to do 3D. And, you know, this is after going through the 90s, watching all the cool movies like Terminator 2 and Jurassic Park and all those movies. I'm like, man, I want to do this 3D stuff. I want to do this. Went to school, got graduated, realized that you can't work in Hollywood in Houston, Texas. So
you have to be in Hollywood to work in.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was like, I just want to make those movies, visual effects. So I actually worked in oil and gas for a while as a 3D artist, which was cool. Actually pretty cool. So that gave me a lot of experience.
Very lucrative, I imagine.
Absolutely. Yeah. I tell my students, I tell my students the same thing. You know, if they want to make money, you might not necessarily want to go into entertainment, but
I was told the same thing by my professor too.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
Why we're all podcasters.
Well,
that's
I mean, exactly.
And you know, my you
Gary
know
told him to go to hell.
I do.
He's like, there's not much money in what you're going to school for, but it'll lead to other things, which it did.
It's true, you know. I mean, yeah, obviously, you know, there are people making money in this industry, but it could be kind of a grind and, you know, it doesn't pay as well. I mean, you really have to find the enjoyment in the work rather than trying to be rich. If you want to be rich, don't be a 3D artist. Don't be a game developer. Be a doctor. Be a lawyer. Do something that, you know, actually makes a lot of money for the individual. So, but I love this stuff. So it didn't matter what I was working in. So as long as I could do 3D, you know, I was happy. But I had some, you know, I haven't done anything major, you know. Dreadnought did reasonably well. It's a AAA title, you know, so it was really good. Got my name in the credits of a game. Got to work on a film that was shot locally here in Houston.
Was it RoboCop 2?
It was. No, it wasn't.
One of my coworkers' cars.
That was before my time. I was too young at the time.
Company like we used to work with.
It's
work
the staple
for
of Houston. When you think of movies in Houston, that's the usually
it
the
is.
One.
It really is.
Company
but
we used to work for started basically the RoboCop 2.
Yeah, Microsearch, which is no longer a company.
Nope.
The only reason they started up it at all is because they needed to provide computers for the editors who are editing the dailies for RoboCop 2.
I had no idea. Yeah. I'm familiar with Microsearch. I've
which
dealt
later
with them
became
many
other company.
How about that?
Yeah.
You've just educated me, guys. Thank you.
The more.
Now,
you know.
Well, I could just file that in my useless information drawer. So
that's
there we
right.
go. But no,
we're about the same age, right?
Yeah, I'm a little older than you.
What was your first game? What was your first game system that you remember? What was the first? Okay, this is what I want to do.
Oh, when it made me decide this
what
is
was
what
the
I want to do.
That bitch, I guess.
Man, probably the N64 is
really?
What really. Well, no, that's not true. That
that's
started
right.
it. Well, okay, it is kind of true because when Mario became 3D. I was like, what is this 3D stuff? This is pretty cool.
Sideways.
Yeah, this is pretty cool. But what really cinched it was Final Fantasy VII.
I've been hearing a lot about
that. Was, I mean, it was.
They're making a remastered version.
they are. It was not. It's in a long line of movies and media that inspired me, but I think that really just kind of launched me, and I was like, man, I've got to do this. I've got to find a way to do this because this is cool stuff.
Very
so,
cool.
Yeah.
So?
Any questions? Anything?
I'll raise my hand.
Sure.
So, what was the very first game system that you owned?
So, I'm about to show my age.
No.
I had a Pong system.
Okay.
Yes, Pong. And I'm not talking about the cartridge. I'm talking about the actual system.
I remember seeing that in my elementary school.
Exactly. So, there was that. And then
I see one of those at the video game museum.
Well.
Thanks.
Yeah. I had an Atari 2600.
I had one of those, too.
I did, too.
Before, it was called the 2600. Back then, it was called the Atari VCS.
Yep. I was
video computer system.
When I was a kid, I did not own an Atari. I was an Intellivision kid. I don't know why my
Intellivision. You were one of those rich kids. I couldn't afford Intellivision.
I don't know why I decided to go with Intellivision instead of Atari, but you know.
Yeah, that was actually pretty cool. I had a friend that had an Intellivision, so that's where they introduced Donkey Kong.
Yeah,
like the legit Donkey Kong, not the crappy Atari 2600 version.
And then the Nintendo Entertainment System, my buddy, a guy that lived like two or three doors away from me, got it. And I was like, all right, that's it. This is it for life.
Did you play Ninja Gaiden?
Yep.
Everybody with a Nintendo Entertainment System played Ninja Gaiden and then hated it.
If you're
well, loved it but hated it, right?
Double Dragon
and Contra.
Yep. Yeah. Contra. If you're Contra, a Ninja Gaiden fan, if you haven't played this game called The Messenger that came out last year, it's
a
It's a Metroidvania game done in the style of like Ninja Gaiden. But it you can go from 8-bit to 16-bit in the game. You like little what? Like warp things. It's my favorite game of last year.
Okay. Yeah, yes. I'm going to shell out some money. Take my money. I'm going
to
get it. Yeah.
And they just released a free, which just leads me to this. They just released a free DLC for it last week. The game is really fucking difficult and really hard.
I'll bet.
But it's so rewarding once you get past a boss or an area that you couldn't get past before.
So do you think it's so weird good. That games aren't like that very much anymore? I mean, I play games like Cuphead.
Yeah, and they're still like, making games like Cuphead.
Well, yeah, but there's... But it's kind of changed. Far, I mean, back far, in the late 80s and 90s, or 80s especially, man, those games are like all over the place. And you would just, you're pulling your hair out trying to play those games.
There's still a lot, but they don't get released as like big budget releases. You don't go and pick up the cartridge. You buy them as a DLC for $5 because they're not as high demanding to make as like.
A lot of them are indie, yeah. A lot of the
Castle Crashers is one of my favorite games.
Love Castle Crashers.
Castle Crashers is amazing. And it's just like that. But it's like $5 on Xbox Live.
I'm playing Bloodstained right now. Which I think we talked about in the last episode. I am so fucking... I wanted 100% that game. So it was like... You know what it is? It's like a Metroidvania game. It is done by the same guy who worked on Symphony of the Night. So it's basically a direct sequel to Symphony of the Night without the Castlevania name. I am 99.
I'll talk about stuff I've never heard of. So awesome.
You can just tune out here. I'm at 99.4% of the completed map in this game. I'm trying to find that last part, and it's so difficult. It's such a good game. I'm at a point right now where it's like I'm so powered up, and I have all these powers I can just run through the fucking entire game. It's something I just go back to over and over. I'm like, oh, I got another game to play. Like I got Division 2 to play. I'm like, nope. I'm going to try to 100% this game.
I also think a lot of those types of games are more geared towards like mobile application now rather than console.
Yeah. Nintendo Switch has a lot to do with that.
Yeah,
I think Switch is helping out with that. You know, I never really played Diablo 3 when it first came out in 2012. I didn't really get into it too much.
I played way too much.
Now I got it on my Switch.
Oh, it's great on the Switch, isn't it?
It's perfect for the Switch.
You know, we just started playing. It's Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3.
I saw a preview for that or a trailer for that, and my son, who's 13, was like, "Dad, we need to get that for the Switch."
So we've been playing it.
So we're going to get it.
Yeah, we've been playing co-op. It's couch co-op, which is great.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of that. It's difficult.
Dang.
It's like the old one, man.
Boy. Well, that's what I'm talking about.
But, man. There are so many fucking Marvel characters in this game. It's pretty awesome.
I saw that. Speaking of, like, side-scrollers, have you guys played Ori and the Blind Forest?
Yes.
Yes. You should play
beautiful
it.
Game.
It's a beautiful game. Beautiful. Okay.
Have you played Hollow Knight?
No, but you're the second person to tell me that I need to play it, so...
Do you have the Xbox with a Game Pass?
Yes, I do.
It's free right now.
Oh, snap. Doing it.
Yep. Beautiful game, amazing game.
Gonna get it.
You played that?
No.
It's.
I don't have as much time for games as I used to. I got way too much going on. But
yeah, I know.
Like normally for me, I play mobile on my phone. That's where I play most of my games. But every once in a while, like a console game will come out that I just have to devote some time to. But I don't really play as much as I used to.
Have you been playing anything recently, George?
With this phone,
Spider-Man. Again? Okay, that's about it. That's all I've been playing.
I recently got my copy of the game back from somebody. Now I can actually try out some of the new costumes they released and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
from
the
DLC.
Far From Home costume is pretty cool.
I still haven't played the Fantastic Four costume.
What?
The one with the
That's
bag
cool.
Yeah, the bag head.
Yeah.
The last game I beat was Call of Cthulhu, like back in February,
I guess.
Was
that any good?
It was pretty fun. The ending, it only gives you two options, and like one of them's great and the other one's kind of meh. But, The game itself is pretty fun to play.
I can borrow that from you.
Sinking Cities just came out too, which is another Lovecraft based mystery adventure sort of thing.
Call of Cthulhu was like down to like $20 recently. I was like debating to pick it up, but I haven't.
It's fun. Like the gameplay itself is fun.
Yeah.
So I think you'd enjoy it.
Okay.
There's definitely like a couple of truly terrifying fights in there.
Is it like a turnstile thing or
no?
Or is it like a button smasher thing?
Neither. It's like real. You don't have any real weapons. You got to like kind of like run and
high
figure out ways to defend yourself. Yeah. Like it's not really survival because you have other like traps you can set and utilities you can use and things like that. It's not like
reminds me of Outlast.
It's not like Outlast. Okay. It's not like Outlast.
All right, good.
Alien was it?
Outlast
Alien.
Frustrates the hell out of me.
Yeah.
I beat the first one. The second one, I just like gave up because I got too tired of hiding in lockers. So, like it just gets old.
So I'm stuck in that down the basement of that hospital in a locker, and every time I get out, the dude comes and kills me. So I'm just like, I think I'm gonna start over.
You can't Outlast.
No, and then I get scared because the only time I get to play. I know I said it, but only time I get to play is late at night because, you know, I'm dealing with my son, doing work or whatever. So it's like 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. I might spend an hour playing a game. If I play that game and it freaks me out, I'm done.
Yeah.
Just shut it down.
I'm the same way.
I can play those games at midnight. I always have, and I don't really get bothered by games. Like
I get too invested.
I'm a pansy.
The problem with those kind of games is like you have to just keep hiding over and over again, and it gets very frustrating.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
I like games where you can interact more with the world around you. Which
fair enough.
In the Lovecraft games, you can.
Yeah,
like,
cool.
You don't have weapons normally, but like you can find a revolver and then you can shoot until you run out of bullets and then you're done.
I saw that the Sinking City trailer. It looks pretty cool.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm excited.
I'm
look
into it too.
Is it out already?
Yeah, it came out last week, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, so hopefully I get that for my birthday, and then I'll be playing that for a while.
So there's a new Wolfenstein game coming out.
I saw that.
Weekend, it's Friday. Yeah. Wolfenstein Youngblood. Yeah, Youngblood.
Yep.
Which is it's a co-op game. So remember like A Way Out where you would get the code that came with the game, so like somebody else on another system can put in that code and they can play the game with you on a different system, which is cool. So we can play
like,
it together.
Like Pokemon way back when?
No. I mean, it gives them the opportunity to download the game for free to play.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Like, the first person starts the game up, and then you jump into their game, basically.
That's cool.
Yeah. It's something new. I think A Way Out is the only game I've seen that
does that.
It's
the only game I can think of that's done that.
Yeah. But, yeah, there's also a VR Wolfenstein game coming out, too. Cyber Pilot? That looks pretty cool.
Cool.
I've done some VR work before.
Have you?
That sounds pretty exciting. Yeah, absolutely. Not as a game. It's mostly just for clients that I had when I was working oil and gas and medical, so VR and AR stuff. So, yeah. I do a little bit of everything. It's kind of weird, but I'm never bored. So
and you're an amazing photographer, too.
I do my best. There's others that I work with who I feel like are better than me, but I have fun with it. You get to see all my work.
I do.
Yes, yes. So coming from you, that's high praise. So thank you, sir.
And how often does it get utilized? That's something right there.
Yes. Yeah, we sort of set the style, the tone, sort of the visual language of the photography. So we're talking about Comic Palooza, by the way, if anyone is wondering what we're talking about. So, yeah.
You ever
I'm
heard
sorry,
of
George.
Palooza?
I don't know what that is either.
Oh, okay. He's like shook his head. He's like, ah.
I know. He's like, what? What's this Comic Palooza?
Something I do know, I know you do know about. We've all seen a movie recently, haven't we?
No.
I've seen a lot of movies recently.
All right. Let's talk about a certain.
Sabanya!
Did you know that trans, like, there's a lion, here comes a lion?
Really? That's funny.
You've been waiting to do that.
I have.
He was. You can tell.
You mean, look,
I know. It's like all that clipping in the audio track.
I mean, you have to know you do post-production now, man. All right. So,
worth it. Levelator.
It was worth it.
We're talking to, in my John the Levelator.
Nice.
We are talking about The Lion King. I saw it last Friday. You seen it? Okay, you've seen
it? He's obviously seen it.
And you've seen it.
I've seen it, yeah.
All right. Who liked it?
I want my money back.
Can we move on?
I took a 10-year-old to see it, and he didn't even like it.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
Because he's already seen the original, right? He's probably seen the original.
I'm going to preface a couple things. I like Jon Favreau.
I do, too.
I
as an actor and as a director. Yes. I mean, I do.
And I think there was good parts in this film.
He did a fantastic job with Jungle Book.
Yes.
Yeah. So
because they had emotions on their face.
They did. You're right.
Seth Rogen and Billy Eichner were great. John Oliver was great as Zazu.
I mean, he
that's about it.
Had the exact. It was beat for beat.
Beat for beat.
It was
line shot for line, shot for shot. Exactly the same.
There was extra bit, but not much.
Yeah. So they had some interesting ideas that like the fact the Scar and Mufasa had a history prior to this, whatever. Like
right,
they explored that. Tried to dethrone him, and right. probably that's how he got a scar. Makes you think, though. So a Scar always named Scar, and then got a scar later.
Or was he named something else?
Yeah. Or
what's his real name?
Yeah. What's
he not
name?
Telling us?
Yeah, exactly. Or he just goes by Scar, and he's
who
like,
are you, Scar?
Lion.
Before he had the scar, he was called Scar.
Behind the scar,
right?
Scar behind the scar.
Next time on Behind the Scar.
And then, like, I like the hyenas part. Was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought I liked the whole them running through the whole thing. I thought that was pretty
Justin didn't like the hyena part, did you?
Oh, the part he's talking about where they're chasing them through the elephant graveyard and poking their heads in.
Yeah.
That added some intensity to it that wasn't there in the animated one, and I thought that was great. There was a lot of things in the movie, different segments in the movie that I thought were great. And there's just the pacing in the movie was off. It just was. It was very slow in places that it shouldn't have been slow. There was no emotion from any of the characters because their faces didn't move the way George said.
Right. Not agreed.
Like, my biggest complaint is that it was just boring.
It was very boring.
It was super boring. Like, I almost fell asleep several times. Erica fell asleep for like 20 minutes.
I did fall asleep.
The guy
asleep.
Next to me was snoring his ass off. Really?
I'm also going to preface and say The Lion King, the animated movie, it's one of my favorite Disney movies of all time.
Mine too.
It's a lot of people's favorite.
Yeah.
Because I think it's the highest grossing animated film Disney's
probably
ever produced.
Yeah.
Justly so. I mean, it's a great movie.
It really is.
This, I don't know.
It's like the zombie version of The Lion King.
Lifeless
zombies.
Another thing the movie did.
But it looked beautiful. It was a beautiful looking movie.
It was stunning.
It's gorgeous. Yes. It's gorgeous. There's another major problem with the movie, though, in that it assumes that you've seen the animated version. Because there are a lot of characters that don't get any kind of introduction. Rafiki never gets an introduction at all.
Oh. Yes.
He shows up and holds Simba up. And then he shows up at the end to fight hyenas. And you know nothing about Rafiki.
Also, there was that weird moment where he pulls his staff out and he's like, hello, my old friend.
Yeah, where did that come from?
I was like, have we seen this staff before?
He hadn't even spoken until that point. He'd just been making clicking sounds. And then he pulled the staff out.
Right.
Whoa. You saw a different movie than I saw.
Now I am the Lion King.
And, like, I think they really missed a good opportunity here. If they were going to go the route, like, if they had to make a live-action movie, why not tell us a little different story? Why not show us how Scar got a scar?
Exactly.
Why not show that weird...
The only really thing they changed was cutting one song and adding the Beyonce Lion King song into
and
it.
And Be Prepared was horrible in this movie.
Every song was horrible.
Not everyone.
Every song was terrible. Every song.
Hakuna Matata.
It was terrible.
Hakuna Matata, that's all I'm going to say.
I mean, Seth Rogen was doing his best.
They got people who can't sing to sing, with the exception
of I'm going to have to go with George on this one.
Seth Rogen, cannot sing. Billy Eichner,
Beyonce was the worst choice.
Absolutely.
Like, she had zero emotion in her voice.
That's the thing, though. Like, I couldn't even tell it with her.
It fit the movie.
I think they thought putting her in there was going to get a bigger draw to come see it. But it's the friggin' Lion King. People were going to come see it no matter what.
And,
they should have picked an unknown who actually could sing those songs closer to the originals.
And I thought Donald Glover would be a great casting choice.
Yes.
But it felt like they just used the first take of every line.
I can see that for sure. Yeah,
you know what? That now that you mentioned that, yes.
He's like, okay, guys, I got 5 minutes.
He's like, I gotta go on tour in about an hour.
Yeah.
So let's churn this out.
But let's go back to what you were saying. You know, I thought it would be a different take on the story as well. I mean, I said to myself, surely they're not going to beat for beat repeat what the animated story the animated story that was told back in the 90s.
But
you know,
had they just shown it to us differently?
I mean,
I
just different. I mean, I still feel like I'm with you. It's like they could have just made some changes, you know, to make it more.
They did lighten up the movie, too. I don't know if you noticed that, but a lot of the dark element that was in the first one is not in this one.
I know.
Yeah.
And also, I thought it was a little bit darker in parts.
I feel like it's a lot lighter. The Elephant Graveyard is not scary at all. Like in the first one, it's actually
it's color and tone. I mean, they did the best that they could. I also feel like, what did you think about the color grading on the.
Also, the fact that Can You Feel the Love Tonight?
Mm.
None of the scenes are at night.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does anybody notice that, or is that just me?
That's true.
I didn't notice that. That's funny.
During the day.
So, Can You Feel the Love Today?
But yeah, the color, it was super saturated.
Yeah.
They wanted to feel like that African that African
I get it. They want to saturate it. It's overly warm tones. I get it. But
and you got to remember, there's not a single real piece of footage.
No, all CGI. Completely.
I get that, and it's amazing as a technical feat. It's incredible.
Yeah.
I mean,
they've got themselves back in the back. It's beautiful.
People that I'm connected with on LinkedIn who worked on that movie, and they, you know, they're finally able to show some of the shots that they worked on. I'm just like blown away. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And I haven't had the heart to tell them that I didn't like the movie. So terrible. I tell them, "Hey, man, the shots look great. The models look great.
The scene with the tuft of hair blowing through the wind. That was on forever.
Yes.
Well, they want to show you how cool. Look how cool our CGI is.
Got trapped out by something and picked up
by a giraffe. So when that happened,
and then Rafiki's like, obviously this is Simba.
So, like, when the giraffe ate the leaf with the hair on it, yes. I turned to Catherine. I was like, I swear to God, if this giraffe poops out this thing, I'm going to just start laughing. And sure enough, that was the exact next scene.
You got the stink bug or whatever pushing that.
The dung beetle.
The dung beetle. Yeah, yep.
Yeah.
So, I got to ask you this. We've all seen Aladdin now, the remake of Aladdin.
Yes.
You seen it?
I actually didn't see it.
Okay.
Do you think Will Smith looks ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
Is Aladdin better than The Lion King?
Hands down.
Hell no.
I've heard that it was actually good.
I will watch Lion King four times over before I watch Aladdin.
I will never watch Lion King again, and I would happily watch Aladdin again.
I don't want to watch Aladdin because I think...
The biggest difference here is Lion King looked good. Aladdin looked like cheap, hot shit on a plate.
But at least Aladdin had heart, and like the songs worked.
No, it didn't.
It did.
Heart
it
did. Where?
It did have heart.
Where?
It was a fun, enjoyable story, even with all the flaws.
There was nothing enjoyable about that.
You can pick Aladdin apart.
I didn't watch it, so I don't know.
Jafar is the biggest problem in that movie. There's a lot of stuff wrong with the Aladdin movie, absolutely. But it's still relatively fun, and there's still a lot of heart to it. And it's not boring. That's the most important part.
It was way boring. It was stupid.
Oh, my God. You're wrong, George.
I'm never wrong. Here's the answer. George is never wrong.
You're wrong about this.
I rewatched Aladdin.
Filmmakers don't like movies. Filmmakers don't like movies.
Just George. I rewatched the animated classic. Aladdin.
Of course.
We can just
and you loved it.
And prepare for something else.
It was
else.
Good.
I don't. The Lion King didn't need to be made.
Nope.
Aladdin, mm-mm. I can see what they were doing. And I appreciate the movie. I didn't love it, but I didn't really hate it either.
It was
sort of meh in the middle about it, you know? It was fun. I didn't hate Will Smith as the genie.
I didn't either. He was.
He can't sing, but
he did his best. And it didn't. It wasn't Robin Williams. He made it his own. It was his own thing.
I'm not even upset about Will Smith. The plot was terrible. It was messy.
It's the same plot.
No, it's not. It's a messy plot, and they try to add this shoehorn a whole bunch of other plots that didn't make sense.
Like what?
Well, the Jafar thing was.
Make way for a Prince Ali song is like stuck in my head now, so we need to move on.
Right on.
Anyway, it was a hot mess. At least Lion King looks a lot better.
Okay, I fell asleep almost in Lion King. I was like awake enough to enjoy Aladdin. Like Lion King is the most boring movie I've seen since the all female Ghostbusters.
You know what it's going to cleanse us from our palate? Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
I'm seeing that tomorrow.
I know.
Ooh.
Tomorrow? I'm thinking Saturday.
Yeah.
I need to go see that, too. Isn't that Tarantino's ninth movie?
Yep,
yeah.
Ninth movie.
Second to last movie,
yeah,
supposedly.
Supposed to be doing a...
Unless he does
gonna
a Star
say
Trek
it,
movie.
That fool better stay away from Star Trek.
Why? I'm just gonna...
What?
Tarantino Star Trek movie? No.
I would see
I'm,
that.
He could
nope,
be a
nope,
really
nope,
big
nope,
Trekkie.
Nope,
you don't
nope,
know
can't
that?
Can't do it. Can't do it. No, no, no.
Yes.
That's worse than J.J. Abrams doing Star Trek.
You know it's going to be like a Tribbles movie.
Samuel Jackson
screaming about Tribbles.
No.
Samuel Jackson's
going to show up somewhere in Star Trek, and he's going to, you know, he's going to say.
He's going to be a Klingon, man.
It's
going to
be Pulp Fiction in space.
Pretty much.
And I'm okay with that.
So, I don't know if you guys know this. I've been reading up on this a little bit. Tarantino has no idea. He is totally stumped by J.J. Abrams' version of Star Trek. He doesn't understand the whole time travel thing and... You know, what happened to the Romulans and all, he doesn't understand.
Can I say something?
What?
I like the J.J. Abrams Star Trek, but I'm a Star Trek guy.
So I like the first and third
The J.J. Abrams Star Trek are Star Trek movies for people that aren't Trekkies.
That's true. I will give you
that's why he left and went and made Star Wars.
But I won't say that I hate those movies, because I actually enjoyed them. I just feel like
they're fine, but they're different.
I just feel like they deviated a little too much. Star Trek Beyond was super action. I mean,
was that
full,
the third one?
That was the third one.
Okay, what was the second one called? I forgot already.
Into Darkness. So, and I think Into
the
Darkness.
Weird version of Khan.
I mean, enjoyed it. I actually, of the three movies, that one's my favorite.
Really?
Yeah, because I like the Klingons. I mean, I'm always a Klingon fan. No matter what form they take, I just love Klingons. So I thought that they were pretty badass in that one. So,
all right.
And then watching Spock kick Khan's ass, that was actually kind of cool.
So do you think if Tarantino doesn't do a Star Trek movie, what do you think he'll do?
He has original story.
I hope he does a Kill Bill 3.
He's talked about it for years, but he's also talked about
a Django.
He also talked about a Vega Brothers movie that never happened.
Yes, I just read that article. The Vega Brothers movie would have been awesome.
It's just never going to happen. I mean,
because they're going to get all three Vega Brothers.
Is there three? I thought there was only two.
There's the third one from Street Fighter.
But I just want to throw something at you right now. Just grab something from your walls and throw it at you. Anyway, I don't think it'll ever happen.
I don't think he's do you think he's really going to retire? I mean, does someone like that actually truly retire?
I mean, he might not direct anymore.
They say it all the time. And they get bored. Yeah. And they come back out of retirement.
He'll get offered to do some kind of show or
No. This is what will happen. He'll be out of the game for a few years, and then he'll come back with some incredible story, and they're going to promote the hell out of it. And
yeah. The movie that brought him out of retirement.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. And it's going to make millions because it's going to promote itself. It's going to market itself.
He also says he just wants to kind of just focus on writing. So, like, he could just be tired of just the directing part.
Yeah.
Maybe he just wants to write.
Well,
who can direct something that he writes, though?
Robert Rodriguez.
Robert Rodriguez. Okay. I was just going to mention him. I said that's because those two are like two peas in a pod, right?
So they speak the same language. That's why.
And they kind of like don't like unions and
also Robert Rodriguez cannot
and all
write
that.
For anything. So he needs a writer.
What has he actually written?
From Dusk Till Dawn.
I love From Dusk Till Dawn.
I did too.
Favorite movies.
I actually did too.
Because Tarantino fixed the script before they started shooting.
That I didn't know. Okay. You just ruined it for me. I'm a huge Robert Rodriguez fan.
In one movie.
It is too. Yeah, well, totally.
Half of it was the part where it was all Rodriguez, and then the other part was like Tarantino's like, well, what if we did this?
Well, so what about El Mariachi and Desperado? I mean,
all right, I'll give you that. So Desperado is exactly El Mariachi, just recooked.
What about Spy Kids?
All right.
Okay, I like Spy Kids. I'll admit that.
What else has he actually written?
I don't know. That's all I could think of off the top of my head.
He did like the 10-minute videographer series or something like that.
Oh, his
too.
Film, 10-minute film
yeah,
school.
Yeah, that's it. 10-minute film
he did
school.
Have a
yeah.
Grindhouse too, right?
Yeah, he did that crappy Planet Terror.
Planet Terror.
Yeah, Death Proof was up to the very end was enjoyable for me.
All right, so. Let's
Plus, he
on.
Did Alita Battle Angel, but I think James Cameron.
Maybe he did Alita?
That. Yeah, he was the director on it.
I didn't know that either.
James
I thought
Cameron
it was,
James, was
James Cameron.
He was a producer on it.
So, it was a Robert Rodriguez directed movie?
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I didn't see the movie, so I need
I hadn't seen it either, but I've heard good things.
I'm going to wait.
It was fun.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet. I'm going to wait a few weeks.
I'll wait for it on HBO.
They're going to be showing it when I go on vacation. So, I'll go watch it there.
Okay.
Cool.
On the pool deck.
Oh, hey. What? Oh, yes, you're on a cruise.
Yeah, we are. And that's one of the movies they're going to be showing.
So I'm going to stow away in one of your bags. I'm just kidding.
I can bring a big bag.
Right on.
All right, so let's move on. We're going to talk about some Comic-Con news and some cool stuff like that.
What's Comic-Con?
It's where a bunch of comics hang out.
Where did you find this guy? Can we send him back? Let's get the real George.
The Welcome back to the show, everyone. We're going to get into our topic of the week, which is going to be all the news that has come out of Comic-Con 2019. You know what Comic-Con is, George?
Now I do.
Okay.
We had to take a 20-minute recess to teach him.
We had to make him watch a YouTube documentary about Comic-Con.
Yeah, they kept calling it Comic-Con. I don't get it.
Didn't they celebrate an anniversary this year?
50-year?
Yeah,
50 years. Is it their 50th year?
50th year.
Wow.
I was also told that they missed the boat on that because this was also the 50th year of the moon landing. They could have tied the two together. So.
They're not from Houston.
But only one of those things is real. So.
Here we go.
Wait, the
conspiracy
moon landing?
Theory.
You mean Comic-Con's not real?
I don't know. Is it? You tell me.
I don't know.
I know they're not from Houston, but still.
It's
man,
a reoccurring that's a national theme in our other thing, show so. That we do together.
Yeah, we did an episode on astronauts on Mind Fudge, and
nice.
I took the stance that astronauts never actually went to the moon. It was all done on a soundstage. I've been fighting that fight ever since.
You're gonna fight, die on that hill alone.
One of those guys did punched somebody recently for that
Buzz Aldrin,
for that crap. So
I shared that link
just so you know.
And I said, "This man's a hero." And then his girlfriend responds. She goes, "Which one?" And I go, "You know which one, Catherine."
And to get to that soundstage, those guys that. To get to the soundstage, had to go on the flat part of the earth.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Gosh. I was just talking to somebody about that yesterday. So I'm so baffled by that whole thing.
We could spend 2 hours on flat earth.
We could.
George, but we're not. George feels sympathy for those people.
Hey, there's a documentary on Netflix.
Yes, that's what I was talking about.
So weird.
Defended those people when we talked about that documentary.
Defended is a strong word. I felt bad for him is
He's
all
like,
I said.
He kept saying we should give them a chance and listen to them and try to help them understand
how incorrect they are.
Where is your tinfoil hat?
In my back pocket.
Those people don't deserve sympathy. There's like
no
limitless proof.
No,
yeah, there is. And even in the documentary, they
can't
prove
abide
it
by that.
Against themselves that there is a curvature to the earth.
Yeah,
I feel a conspiracy that you're trying to take over my show with all this weird talk.
Weird talk.
Oh yeah, we need to get away from your.
We need to go back
talk.
To Comic-Con.
Go back to Comic-Con. I just said nothing about that.
It's all you, George. It's all your fault. I can see it in your eyes.
Yes. You're like, the conspiracy theory runneth deep.
So where do you want to start at? I mean, there's a lot of.
Well, you have a beautiful,
dude.
Masterful list here.
I do.
Let's just go with start
well,
with that.
I mean,
all right, fine. You want to start with Star Trek?
Sure.
Yes. Why
not? Picard.
Picard. Yeah, me.
Make it so.
I think I'm the biggest Star Trek fan here. So
I think
I'll
so.
Be the first
so did you
to
cry?
Sit. I cried.
I bet you did.
Did you really?
Man, no, but no. I felt like it.
So can you? Explain
I felt the feels, man.
Can
big
you?
Time.
Can you explain to some? I'm a casual Star Trek fan. So
yeah.
What's her name? The Borg chick lady? Seven,
yeah.
Eight, nine?
Seven of nine.
There you go.
Jerry Ryan.
Seven yeah. did not eight,
who
nine.
Who I did get to
I
meet
thought,
last year at Comic Palooza.
I thought she yep. was done.
She was very
Star
sweet
Trek.
To me. And
well, Voyager ended, but that doesn't mean she's done.
You guys aren't listening to me, man. I'm listening. Jerry Ryan. No, okay, go ahead.
I've seen
Sorry.
Your photos.
So explain to me how I'm just curious how she's going to fit back into the show.
I promise they were PG rated, PG.
Were.
But I paid a lot of attention to her when I took photographs of her. Anyway, go ahead.
I was just curious, how do you think they're going to bring her back into the fold?
Well, I mean, you can't have a Picard story without talking about the Borg. I mean, yeah. If you get assimilated into the Borg the way Jean-Luc Picard did, you know, there's going to be lasting effects. Even if they get every bit of the gear out of his body.
The Tom Hardy
I'll
movie
honest,
makes
I have
is,
seen
so holds
all,
deep, huh?
I think I've seen all the Star Trek movies. And the only series I've seen parts of is The Next Generation.
Right.
I mean, I've seen old Star Trek episodes here and there,
and
but
Best of Both Worlds still stands out as just a massive two-part.
And they're also bringing
episode.
Data back.
Yes.
Yeah. Actually, Jonathan Frakes is supposed to appear in one of the first episodes.
Both
how are they
going to
explain
Marina
why
Data's supposed
fat.
To show up? Yeah. What?
How are they going to explain why Data's fat?
Well, no. If you remember. Well, I don't know if you will remember. There was an episode of The Next Generation where they learned of a Noonien Soon robot that the guy who made Data, there was an android that was essentially Data's mom, so to speak. And she was actually an android. They revealed at the end of the episode that she's an android, but she had the ability to age. So he had built that in. So that's the explanation that you can use for Data being older.
Pretty sure
he was constantly upgrading himself, like giving himself new emotions, giving himself new.
Well, yeah, but I mean, even if he didn't do that,
you know what I need some extra pounds around the waist.
I know, right? Well, I mean, you know,
he's eating the wrong kind of chips.
It is the future, so but yeah,
up too easily. I need to gain some weight.
No, it looks super cool. I'm very excited.
It is. I'm stoked.
But it looks like
my favorite Star Trek series is the Orville.
Nice.
I've never watched the Orville.
Orville's actually pretty good. But you know what's good about
it? We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, I'll just say this much. It's actually, with each season, it's actually sort of developing its own identity. So it'll be less of a Star Trek clone or parody with each season. Plus, with it being on Hulu for the next season.
Yeah, let's talk about talk about that move to Hulu.
Yeah.
Why do you think it's... I'm glad it's moving to Hulu, then it won't be canceled by Fox.
Right. Well,
by Fox because it's owned by Disney.
Well, yeah, with the Fox properties going to Disney, I mean, they actually explained it. What is that? There was a
Fox is notorious for
20th TV. I think it's what it's called. 20th TV is. I don't know that Disney actually bought that, so I'm not.
I was under the impression they did.
I'm not sure.
I think the Orville is owned by Disney now.
Yeah.
Oh, is it?
Anything 20th century property.
Well, that's fine. But there was an explanation for that. And so why it's going off Fox, and I guess it is because it's a Disney property now, but it's going to Hulu instead of one of Disney's
Disney Plus.
Streaming service.
From what I understand, all the adult-centric stuff, they want to push it to Hulu because they own a majority share of Hulu now.
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. So with that, that means to me that they will have less restriction on storytelling too. So
I'm
pretty excited.
I'm excited.
But does that mean that they're on the verge of cancellation? Because usually people who get moved from network to streaming.
Really. I don't think so.
No, I think you're right. I think it just has to do with the whole... the repercussion of the purchase from Disney. So I think you're right.
As I was asking earlier, you mentioned earlier how you weren't a huge fan of the J.J. Abrams style of Star Trek. The new Picard show is very much in that vein.
Well, it is. It picks up after the events led to the J.J. Abrams, you know, the Kelvin verse. So it picks up after that, and it picks up after, of course, after Nemesis. So it deals with the repercussions of the Romulan homeworld being destroyed. Picard was involved in the like rescue efforts or something along those lines. So
for the uneducated who don't know, where did Picard leave off in the Star Trek universe? Where the last time we saw Picard, what was he doing?
He retired to like Italy or something like
that.
Did
he retire?
Yeah. Oh, after Nemesis? Yes. Yeah. Yes, okay. He retired. Yeah.
Was it France or Italy?
Somewhere. France, because that's where his...
That makes more sense, because his last name is French. Yeah, that's right.
That's where his home is.
He's a Scottish person pretending to be French.
Yep.
That's right.
Yes, absolutely. So
sounds about right.
But yeah, and you know, from what I can tell, from what I've read, and from the trailers, he is not suited for retirement. He's restless, so he wants to get back into something. Something falls into his lap, you know, and he loves puzzles. If you remember from the show, he's just that mind, get that mind going. And
I know the meme.
Yeah,
I can't figure it out.
he's gonna try and solve this puzzle. So
who do you think the girl is? They were very vague about
which girl?
I have
the girl in the trailer.
No,
I have.
I don't know
who's asking him for help.
I have two
illegitimate
theories.
Daughter.
One is more likely; the other, maybe not so much, because it wouldn't necessarily make that much sense. But the primary theory is that she is somehow related to the Borg Hugh from Star Trek: Next Generation. Somehow related to him, whether it's blood related or maybe they were in the same group when they were Borg. But she has that. If you look in the trailer, she has a scar on her forehead. It looks like maybe it was an old scar from an implant or something. So there's that. The trailer also talks about or shows how the Romulans are evidently experimenting with the Borg. If you're a nerd like me and you go frame by frame, you start looking at things, you can see some of this stuff. So And then the other, I mean, I just kind of threw this out. We know that Riker and Troy are going to be back. So Jonathan Frakes and
Number One's going to be back.
They're married, so that girl could be their child.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
So because you know when she talks to Picard, she goes, "Do you know me?" or something like that. Like, I feel like maybe that was her kind of sensing trying to connect with
who is
with
Will
Picard.
Wheaton in the series, and that. Isn't that like her no. kid or something?
He was like the pilot.
Son of the doctor, Beverly Crusher.
He was Beverly Crusher. Okay.
Yeah.
Wasn't he the pilot in the show?
Huh?
Wasn't he the pilot?
No.
A couple of times, yeah. He was eventually.
Oh, he got to that point. But in the beginning, he was just like this kid that was on there.
This annoying kid.
Yeah.
I liked where they went with him, but I think the writers didn't know what to do with him, so they wrote him out, so which kind of sucks, but. You know,
Will Wheaton.
They were on a lot of characters, though.
So
they had to.
The other Star Trek series. Did you hear about this? The Star Trek Lower Decks.
Yes, the animated one. I'm looking forward to that.
It's a comedy, cartoon comedy from Mike McMahon, who writes for Rick and Morty.
Yes.
Oh, really?
So that's gonna be exciting.
Looks pretty interesting.
Cool. I'm excited because I love hearing stories that are not related, like to the main. Like the bridge crew or any of them.
It's basically the story of the red shirts.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So there was an episode of Voyager that it reminds me of an episode of Voyager where the entire episode was like people that worked Lower Decks. I mean, you know, the engineers that weren't like prominent engineers and people that worked like the less sexy, cool jobs, you know, that they told a story from their perspective.
But equally important.
But there was like this emergency that happened, and it just showed that whole situation from their point of view. So Lower Decks is going to be pretty exciting.
I remember that episode. Michael Straczynski wrote it.
Yes, absolutely. It's a
great episode.
It's an excellent episode. Yeah. So, yeah.
Voyager is actually my favorite of all the Star Trek franchise, which I know is kind of a weird thing to say.
Well,
but
it's one of my favorites, too. But there's a variety of reasons for that. One of them I got to meet last year. Anyway.
No, I'm just kidding.
Jerry Ryan.
Okay. Let's move on. We just watched the trailer for Westworld Season 3. Like I said, I haven't caught up. I haven't even finished season one. So.
Wow. You're like super behind.
I'm super behind. What'd y'all think?
It looks amazing.
I've only seen season one. So.
I mean, there's season two, spent a lot of time still in Westworld, spent a lot of time going to what they're calling Eastworld or whatever. This one, it looks like there's a lot of other places for them to explore that these people were creating as parts.
Future World and World War II.
Yeah, it looks just exquisite. It's amazing.
It looks like they're setting up a war between the two female main characters, which is going to be really cool.
Yeah.
And you showed Aaron Paul is now a main character, which I love.
From what I read, he's the he's one of the. What do they call it? Somebody that like goes to Westworld, like attendee or
a guest.
Guest. There you go. So
you've been to theme parks, you know.
I'm an attendee at a theme park.
Be our attendee.
Right. Okay, that was my favorite part of The Lion King, though.
Oh, the be our guest part.
Be our guest
part. That was pretty funny. I laughed.
Okay. We saw the trailer as well for His Dark Materials, which when I first saw it, I was like, this looks very familiar. I didn't realize it was a reversion of what's the name of the Golden Compass.
Golden Compass is the first book in His Dark Materials.
I think there's three books in total.
Wasn't the Golden Compass very family friendly?
No, they changed
it to make it family friendly.
To make it family friendly, because the books are very anti-religion and they're filled with anti-Christian propaganda, but they also are excellent stories.
I think Fox made that, right?
I
thought it was Disney or something, wasn't it?
I'm pretty sure it was
Disney
Fox.
Style movie.
It wasn't
or?
Disney
because
I was actually going to go back and watch Golden Compass again because it's on Netflix. So I'm going to check that out before in time for because
if the I new remember correctly, Chronicles of Narnia came out and everyone was going goo-goo. Yeah. Everyone was going goo-goo-gaga over it, and there was like, oh, hey, we got this other property that's very similar but opposite. And then like big Christian groups started coming out how they were going to boycott this movie if it came out, and
so they just changed.
Entirely.
Yeah, I never heard
this. They
did.
It's not even close to the original story.
Yeah.
So
I, my supposition is this one's going to be a little bit more true to the original material.
Stars.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
It has what, James McAvoy,
which
again,
one of my favorites.
Who else was in it? Lin-Manuel Miranda.
AKA
the girl from Logan.
Yeah.
The girl from Logan.
Yeah.
And the fighting bear from Tekken.
Or if you have seen Black Mirror.
I have not.
The fucking bear.
The fucking polar bear.
Or the polar bear from Lost. We don't know.
Lord.
That could have been that, yeah.
All right. That last season of Black Mirror just blew chunks. Dude, I'm sorry.
It was terrible.
It was horrible. I was like, what happened? Did you get upset because there's a new Twilight Zone show coming out and you just didn't know how to tell freaky stories anymore? I mean, what's the deal?
The only Black Mirror I've ever seen is that the Choose Your Own Adventure one.
Bandersnatch.
Go back and watch the other seasons.
Seasons 1 through 4 are really good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's some episodes that are just like amazing.
Especially the episode that Dan Trachtenberg directed, which was really good.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. But I like him a lot.
Don't judge the whole series on Bandersnatch. Please don't.
Did y'all hear, speaking of like Choose Your Own Adventure shows on Netflix, they're doing Choose Your Own Adventure like Bandersnatch was, but for Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt?
Weird.
Why?
Yes, I don't know why. It's coming, be coming out next year sometime.
Okay.
What is Titus going to do today?
That sounds such
a strange idea.
Moving on.
Yeah. Okay. Watchmen.
Watchmen.
Oh, I'm so excited about
that. I can't be more pumped for a television show.
Yes. Me too. I'm with you on that.
We were talking about it earlier. We're trying to figure out, is it a prequel? Is it a sequel? What is it exactly?
Actually watching the trailer with audio this time with Justin, I theorized that I think they're doing their version of what the comic book happened, and then we're going to get flash forwards of the aftermath, or like, you know,
two storylines at the same time.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah,
that's what this new trailer makes me feel, because they showed Jeremy Irons, who's playing Ozymandias, as an old person,
right?
And we never see a younger version of him, but I'm pretty sure we will. And then we have like the cult of Rorschach, which definitely has to be a result of him releasing the book.
Watchmen movie.
So
we're getting I think we're getting a remake of Watchmen, but also a post.
How much do you think Dr. Manhattan?
Yeah, you
and
do.
Night Owl in the trailer.
You do.
Yeah.
So the fact that Night Owl's there, it's like there has to be some prequel stuff too.
Absolutely.
And then also there's like what's the name of the guy who had the noose around his neck and had the really floppy costume? I forget his name. He saves Laurie.
Floppy costume, dude.
Whatever. He jumps through the glass, and you think it's like an old vintage version Watchmen. Then it zooms out, and he's watching a television show, and it has the chrome guy.
I know what you're talking about. I don't know the name, though.
I haven't seen the show, so I don't know what to call it. But
I don't know.
It will come to me later.
It comes out this year, right? That's this year?
Yeah, it's this year.
End of the year, probably.
There's a lot of good movies coming out this year.
I'm looking forward to that.
Lindelof cannot do me any wrong.
But it's not a show. Oh, yeah, it is a show. It's not a movie. Yeah. It's a show. So, yeah.
I forgot Lindelof was doing that.
Yeah. He's like writing, directing a few episodes, and he's show running, too, which he did for Leftovers. And Leftovers is an amazing piece of television.
So, do you think it has the potential to have, like, I don't know, Game of Thrones level of...
I don't think
people will get wrapped up into
it. I don't think the fan base is there the problem.
It's not, because the original, the movie that they put out a few years ago in like 2002 or whatever, it wasn't wildly popular. Like a lot of people didn't like it at all.
Fair enough.
They changed a lot of things.
They did. I still have the graphic novel, and I watched the movie and enjoyed the movie. There were a lot of differences, but enjoyed it. How much of the original fan base, the fan base for Game of Thrones grew. I mean, it wasn't like there was...
No, you're right. You're not wrong.
I'm not saying it's impossible. Yeah. I was just curious. The well, possibly, so it might be hard for people
I don't think it's going
to
be as popular as Game of Thrones.
Do you think there will be another...
Sometimes
show. Amazon is hedging their bets with the new Lord of the Rings show.
I mean, you never can tell when something is just going to hit that zeitgeist and just...
True.
Just... be something for everybody out there.
I mean, because they kind of thought Westworld was going to be like the next Game of Thrones.
I thought that too.
But it hasn't really been. It's still a niched show,
right?
That some people can enjoy and a lot of people don't.
I was just curious. I didn't mean to derail the conversation.
It's a good point. I would love to see that happen, but it needs to. We have to see what it turns out.
True that.
So we did watch also the trailer for The Witcher earlier as well.
Yeah, you mean Mr. Hunky Muscles is what you're talking about.
I don't care. I'm excited about it.
Every time they showed him without a shirt, George's like, look at his muscles.
I know. Dude, Henry Cavill has never been bigger. I don't even think he was that big when he was doing Superman.
He wasn't nowhere near that big during The Immortals. You remember that movie?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. It was actually a pretty decent movie. It's not great.
I love that movie. Yeah, I actually enjoyed it. I thought it was well done.
Which movie was that?
The Immortals.
It's the last movie Tarsem Sinai made, which is sad because the guy who directed The Cell and The Fall.
I went to see that movie at Star Cinema, and when I got there, all they were showing on every single screen was Twilight.
So
I didn't see that movie until way later.
I don't remember The Immortals.
It was like Henry Cavill's like reemergence back into movies. Yeah.
Super CGI, like
no, not really,
yeah, not heavily. It told the story of
300.
Greek mythology. Told the story of Theseus.
Their version.
Version of Theseus. I mean, it's not accurate to Greek mythology. I mean, I don't want to go down that road.
Imagery in the movie.
But it's beautiful. Well, the imagery, the visuals, their versions of the Titans and the Olympians.
Super cool.
Absolutely. By far. Yeah. It's amazing.
That's right.
Yeah.
Henry Cavill looks awesome in this movie. He should play He-Man. I told that to Justin when I saw him.
I mean, he would be a great choice for He-Man, but I don't think he's going to get it.
They can't afford him.
They already cast Noah Centineo or whatever his name is as the role. I'm super excited for the He-Man movie, but it's not going to be Henry Cavill.
At least it's not Dolph Lundgren.
Dolph Lundgren is supposed to be playing King Randor, from what I've heard.
I just don't know about a He-Man movie. I'm sorry. I just can't.
That's Justin's Bible, dude.
Yeah.
They've been saying they were going to remake it for a long time.
I know, but it was. It's
scheduled
just not,
for 2020 live action. It's supposed to bring back all the original characters.
The cartoon wasn't even that good.
But it's got. The cartoon's pretty good. There's a lot of depth to Eternia. There's a lot of depth.
Okay.
There's been so many comic books written.
Fair enough. I'll give you that.
Further expanded the universe.
True.
There's a lot to mine there.
That's true. If they go that route, great. But. That first movie left a really bad taste in my mouth.
Have you watched the She-Ra animated series on Netflix?
Yes.
It's amazing.
It is. It's super good.
But I mean, that's
good.
All the same universe.
I know, like, I know. So if they do it that way, if it's done like that, but live action.
All right, we're derailing here.
Sorry about that.
Back to San Diego. Yes, Mattel announced a whole new line of toys, which this is the thing I'm most excited about out of San Diego, is that they're bringing back
the articulated original
Masters of the Universe figures. They're going to be 5.5 inches, just like the originals were, with 16 points of articulation versus the original 7.
What?
And the original line is going to be available like Walmart, Target, everywhere.
Oh, so they'll be relatively
easy to find, like $14.99.
Not too expensive.
Yeah, the first line's supposed to be He-Man, Skeletor, Teela, Evelyn,
and you're buying all of them.
I will. I absolutely will.
I've pre-ordered them. I've contacted the company.
So The Witcher.
Yeah. So I don't know anything about The Witcher. I never played the games. I've never read the books.
The games are actually really phenomenal.
I only played the third one.
Yeah.
Can you play the third one not playing the first and second one?
Yes. That's exactly what I do.
I will let you borrow it.
All right.
I actually have a copy you can borrow.
Cool.
It's very in-depth and it's a lot of fun.
I think it has potential.
But is he shirtless? Because that's all George.
Yeah, that's all I want to know. Is Henry Cavill in the game and is he shirtless?
If you close your eyes and imagine.
I will do that.
Anything can happen.
I will do that.
He doesn't look anything like Henry Cavill.
No.
What?
No.
Heartbroken. No, the show looks cool. It looks like a, you know, pretty high budget for Netflix standards, I guess. And hopefully it's good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I don't know
what to expect or what I want from it. I just want it to be a good story.
So what about The Dark Crystal: Age of Resistance?
It's a movie.
It looks pretty.
It's a TV series.
Oh, it's a TV show.
Yeah.
I've seen the trailer.
I thought it was a movie.
It looks great.
I tried to watch the original Dark Crystal a few years ago.
You said
it does not hold up.
I'm going to have to rewatch it.
Rewatch it. Just turn off the nostalgia part because you'll be disappointed. I went back and watched it recently and it was like, oh gosh, I don't remember it being like this. But, you know.
Same with Labyrinth, too, though.
A lot of the, yeah.
There's parts of the Labyrinth that's still pretty cool.
Yeah, no, of course, but.
But, yeah. So.
Both of those movies are very steeped in the 80s.
So,
Labyrinth's story still kind of holds up, though.
So, from what I understand, though, they did try to do, like, mostly practical puppets. There's very little CG stuff.
So, and
the voice cast is amazing.
And that's the kind of keep it sort of consistent with the first one. So with the movie. So I think.
So it's a show. Do y'all know how many episodes it's going
to
be?
And there's something. And there's something to having practical effects rather than, you know, a visual effects. I love visual effects. Don't get me wrong, but I feel like
it's the marriage of the two.
Jim Henson
made
the first Dark Crystal,
right? And so, I mean, it was all about practical effects. The puppets. Yeah. Were so amazing. I mean, you just you're not going to get that same depth and feeling with CGI. It's just not going to happen.
Check out the voice cast in the show. You have Taron Egerton, Anya Taylor-Joy, Mark Hamill, Natalie Emmanuel, Helena Bonham Carter, Natalie Dormer, Andy Samberg, Alicia Vikander, Eddie Izzard, Simon Pegg, Keegan-Michael Key, Jason Isaacs, Toby Jones.
Is Keegan-Michael Key in everything?
Yes, he's in everything. Get over it. Mark Strong, Harvey Firestein. Come on.
Who the fuck is that?
Dude, his voice is
Benedict Wong.
Yeah.
Shit, Dave Goals is in it. Sigourney Weaver, Awkwafina.
What?
Who isn't in this? I mean, there you go.
You know who Dave Goals is, right?
No.
Gonzo.
Is she in there?
Oh, really? The guy who does the voice of Gonzo?
Yep, and the puppeteer.
Cool.
Yeah.
I mean, just the cast alone, it's amazing.
It's epic.
I need to go back and rewatch the movie. It's been a long time, admittedly.
I've never seen
it. It's tough to make it through.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
I will watch it streaming and report. It's on Netflix.
Is it on Netflix?
Okay. Yeah.
I'm going to have to watch it.
I will watch it and report back next
time. Let's do it. We'll both do it.
There we go.
Ooh, I got to listen to that one. Unless you guys want to bring me back on again, we can all talk about it.
You're always welcome, sir.
Awesome. Okay, so let's go into a couple movies that we saw trailers for. It Chapter 2.
Yeah.
That's going to be cool.
Amazing.
Yes.
I hope it's good. It looks good.
Well, it did really well.
Yeah, it did well.
And, I mean, critically as well. It did really well.
The movie did well.
Yes,
I loved it. Like I've seen It Chapter One like 7 times already. And so I love
spot
that
on casting by having Bill Hader as the older version of Finn Wolfhard.
Yeah,
right on.
That's perfect.
Yeah,
I just hope Bill Hader loses it and laughs a lot.
There has to be humor. I said this the first time about It, the movie part one, is that I love the atmosphere that they created for the movie, but when it actually came to the scare, I felt like they just fall back into that stupid PG-13 trope where all the soundtrack just blares and they do like this crappy digital speed up effect. And
I hate it.
They really did do that. Yeah.
It just pulls me out of the movie immediately, and I just get really bored.
Overused. I mean, we've seen this time and again in the last 15 years from like. The Ring and The Grudge and, you know,
so,
Insidious,
that
all
being
those.
Said, like, there's parts of It that I really enjoyed. I think, like, all the kid stuff, like, all the kid building and the relationships and their arcs and stuff, I think it's great. It's just all the Pennywise stuff I was kind of disappointed with, really.
I think a lot of the Pennywise stuff was really cool. There, I can see where you're coming from with the jump scares, like the scene in the garage. I know you didn't like that, but like the scene
The video scene?
No,
the scene
where he turns into a giant like dog or whatever, or he barks like a dog.
Yeah. The scene where he like unfolds from the refrigerator, though, that was amazing.
That was pretty freaky.
I love that.
I was a little creeped out by that.
Cool, creepy moments in it. That you don't really get that feeling from like other horror movie icons. You know? They did a great job with Pennywise, and I'm looking forward to seeing how they continue it in this one.
Something else that's pretty scary, Top Gun Maverick.
Ugh.
The only thing that's scary is that from the trailer, it looks like there's another scene with them singing in a bar.
There is.
And more volleyball.
There is.
I think it's football this time.
It doesn't matter.
But they're... I'm sorry, dude.
No.
Henry Cavill out there, shirtless.
No, this time it's Tom Cruise. It's way better.
Okay.
I'm going to put this out there.
Did you say it's better?
Yes. I think Tom Cruise is secretly a double agent or
a
spy.
I'm not a huge fan of Tom Cruise either.
You know what's weird? I can't stand him as an actor or maybe even as a person. But
I can't stand him as a person.
But some of his movies
I
love.
Exactly.
The movies that he's been in, most of them I really like. And now I'm not going to like Top Gun because that's just rehashing. I mean, that's No.
I've never had a huge affinity for the original Top Gun. So
I didn't either.
I loved it.
And the aerial photography in this new one looks amazing by
far.
That
does look pretty, yeah.
It does, and I have a sneaky feeling he's probably flying that jet himself. Because that dude's like,
they said that he did that for real.
Yeah, that dude's all been all about doing his own damn stunts, and I'm like, so I have mad respect for him.
That's why I think he's a spy or something.
His insurance must be fucking through the roof.
I know, right? I'm going to fly the jet. No, Tom Cruise, you can't fly the jet. But I'm flying the jet. I'm not doing the movie. I'm flying the jet or I'm not doing the movie.
I think he just ran into the cockpit and just took off.
He pulled his cell phone. I'm going to get the footage.
Quick.
You're using this in the film.
Turn the GoPro on now.
Oh, all right. Boy.
James Bond reboot.
Reboot.
I'm excited for this.
Excited is a strong word, but I will watch it.
I'm going to watch it, but I just not sure. I'm a fan of those guys.
I'm a Kevin Smith apologizer. I don't care. I love everything he's ever done.
I am too.
Even Tusk.
Yes.
I love Tusk.
I thought Tusk was pretty decent.
I'm just not sure.
Red State is kind of meh.
I like Red State. It's different.
A couple of dicks or cop out kind of sucks.
Well, that was sort of
he directed it.
But it wasn't his movie, though.
Yeah. What's your favorite Kevin Smith movie?
It's Dogma.
Mallrats, Clerks 2, Dogma.
Pick one.
Clerks. I'm going to my top 10.
Oh, okay.
I'm joking. Well, probably Mallrats is definitely number one.
Really? Mallrats is my favorite, and then Clerks.
Yeah.
And then Chasing Amy.
Chasing Amy is my favorite.
Yeah. Chasing Amy is my favorite, and then Mallrats, and then Dogma.
Yeah.
And then
Dogma after Chasing. Chasing Amy and Dogma are about the same.
What's the last movie he did? I can't remember what it's called now.
I don't know. It's Snoochie Boochies.
Clerks 2.
No,
Yoga Hosers.
Yoga Hosers.
Then there was Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Well, this is a direct sequel to Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Yeah, that's what.
The plot is they discover they're making a reboot of Jay and Silent Bob.
Yep.
So they go.
And try to stop that movie.
Try to stop that movie. It's a funny plot. And that's the reason why I like it, but I'm just like, I know it's kind of playing on itself, kind of, you know, having fun with itself, but I'm just worried that it's going to fall flat.
Well, the trailer is just like, let's jam as many of Kevin Smith's friends into the trailer as they can jam into
it.
And like, I'm worried that Kevin Smith's not exactly lost his edge, but like, he's lost the ability to subtly tell stories.
Which is always...
James Bond Bob Strike Back had a shitload of cameos, too.
It did, but the whole story and all the jokes and stuff, they were, like, told well.
Right.
This looks like a lot of, like, I'm just wild and zany Kevin Smith. I can do whatever I want
just
now.
Just rehashing everything. Let's bring everything I've ever done and stick it in this movie. And that's what I'm worried about.
I'm kind of worried that this is going to be that, but I'm going to see it anyways. I'm probably going to love at least three quarters of it.
Yeah. So they're doing a sneak preview for Phasm the day before my birthday, and I plan to invite whoever wants to come. You can buy their ticket, and we're going to go
see it. I'm in. Let me know. Just keep me.
He posted on social media that he's rewritten Clerks 3, or he's in the process of rewriting Clerks 3.
No, he's trying to pitch it again for the bazillionth time.
Man, I hope they pick
Jeff
it up.
Anderson was the problem there.
I just love Clerks. I love the
Jeff
concept
Anderson
of Clerks.
He was on board for Clerks 3 initially, and then it fell apart. I'm hoping that with the rewrites, he can get him back on, and they can actually do a Clerks 3, because I honestly think that story would be a better story for him to tell than a Jay and Silent Bob sequel.
Yeah. Well, I think the Jay and Silent Bob sequel...
Dante and Randall are way more interesting characters.
It just sort of...
They are.
It fell in his lap. He's like, okay, I can do this movie. Okay, I got funding for it. All right, let's do it. Yeah. And it happened quickly.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? It wasn't like...
They filmed the movie in 12 days.
It was quick.
Yeah.
Wow. Did you guys like the animated Clerks?
Yes.
I actually did, yeah.
I love it.
There's a few episodes that are just gems. They're just so well written and funny.
The writing is incredible. I just think Clerks was just
baffles
a great...
me that was on ABC.
So, there's that too. So
it doesn't make any sense.
I don't know
sense.
That we would. Well, maybe nowadays we would get away with it because you know we've got
not on
ABC.
It was on ABC Family.
You could definitely do a Netflix show.
Yeah,
man. If they revisit that on Netflix. It will do extremely well.
They're doing a tour of this movie was Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes in attendance. Cheapest tickets for the Houston show are like $50, which is I can. That seems a little high, but you said earlier, I'm like, yeah, they're doing a Q&A afterwards, and you don't.
And you
like,
get a meet and greet and all that stuff too.
No, 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 you don't.
Their Q&As really? Are always fun,
dude. So, I mean, the meet and greet is $750.
Is it really
$750 for the meet and greet?
That's not what I saw on the website.
If you want to get just a photo, it's $200.
Yeah, just call Pop Culture again and get them to pull them in for another signing like last time.
I mean,
just bring Jason Mewes back to Comic Palooza.
I mean, I would. I'd pop right.
He looks kind of rough, doesn't he?
He does.
I saw. Dude, Jason, I went to his.
Yeah. He
well, looks, no.
That's what happens when you stop doing drugs.
I went to the kid.
And you have a kid.
He has a kid now.
Yes. So I went to the improv show he did last year. It was fun.
Kevin's
amusing.
No,
story.
No, Jason Mewes.
Oh, okay.
Jason Mewes. Okay. Never mind.
Yeah, and he did a meet and greet afterwards. He met everybody that was there.
He's one kid.
One kid. Okay.
But Kevin did a meet and greet too.
Yep.
Afterwards.
That was the Yoga Hosers premiere that we saw.
Yes, and improv. You left early, and I stuck around.
No, there.
No, there's another one. It must be another one I'm thinking of.
It must be something, because we had VIP tickets for that.
Shoot. Right.
So, all right, let's move on. We're going to skip. We're going to go straight to... you want to talk about the Crisis on the Infinite Earth real quick? Which sure. is a couple of cool
the
things.
The comic book?
No, the TV series.
They're making a Crisis on Infinite Earth TV series?
They do it, like, sort of every year-ish. So it's like the big Flash and Supergirl and Arrow crossover. But this year, they're bringing Burt Ward into it. They're going to have the Superman that's on Supergirl involved, as well as Brandon Rouse.
Burt Ward?
They announced today Linda Carter's coming on.
Oh, really?
Wonder Woman, like... It is kind of cool to like see
that would be cool.
All the people that played those roles kind
of. So are they going to be like the Golden Age versions of, or the
maybe
what? That's not called the Golden Age. What are they called?
Silver Age, I think.
Whatever.
Silver
I mean, because that's the one
it was the Golden Age of superheroes.
Well, because Brandon Routh is going to be the Golden Age version of
Kingdom Come Superman.
Kingdom Come. That's it. That's it. So that's what I'm saying. So with Linda Carter coming in, is she going to be one of the Kingdom Come?
I don't think they've announced what universe she's going to be from.
Yeah, they haven't even.
But what show is going to be on?
All of them all together.
I'm not
like a just big cross.
So I have to watch all 20 whatever CW shows is on.
Three or four shows.
I will probably watch this crossover.
I'm not gonna do it either.
I will probably watch this crossover. I have not watched any of those CW shows.
I haven't
shows.
Either. I don't like them.
I am not a CW fan. I think all those CW superhero shows suck.
Uh-huh.
I think Arrow seasons 1 and 2 were pretty solid.
It sort of started falling apart the further along it went, but it started strong.
It's season 8 the last season.
Flash
gets on my last nerve.
It wasn't good in the beginning, but it got better as it went on. Kind
of I think season 2 of Flash
wasn't it like
best.
Every season he was messing with the timeline? Hey, what's Flash doing this season? Messing with the timeline.
It got repetitive.
Yeah.
And boring.
Yeah.
And then all the spinoff shows were just bad.
I mean... The actor's
like the
cool and
Legends
all. It was,
or whatever.
It was cool to see him, but that show blows. I'm sorry. Just
all of it blows.
Even Supergirl. Like, it started
that show,
it started okay.
No,
that
it
started
didn't. No, it didn't.
CBS
that first episode sucked.
Everything about Supergirl is terrible.
I'm saying, like, take the whole season, like, the first five or six episodes establishing her as...
Fair enough.
Kara Danvers. It was, like, okay. And then it went to shit.
Yeah.
She's chronic, though.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
In the reboot.
Well, because... Kevin Smith directed a bunch of episodes.
Yep.
Became friends with her.
Can't do it.
Alrighty. Yeah. So before we get to the Marvel talk, let's talk about Terminator Dark Fate.
A true sequel to Terminator 2.
Yep. I'm so excited.
I mean, but hold on. Wait. Is it a real true sequel?
Yes, it is a direct sequel. They're forgetting
James
all
Cameron
about the
James Cameron isn't directing, so I'm just saying.
Doesn't matter.
Mackenzie Davis. I love her.
I don't really know who she is.
Linda Hamilton coming back.
Linda Hamilton, man. That's
Sarah Connor. Edward Furlong.
Edward Furlong's going to be in it. Yep.
Little Eddie Furlong.
Yes.
Probably not little anymore.
Arnold.
No. Arnold.
Yes. So it's, yeah. I'm
Liquid Metal Terminator on top of Terminator Exoskeleton.
Exactly.
What more do you want?
Like, it's going to be amazing.
Everything about this just excites me beyond
I had the same hype for all the other
you know
Terminator
what I
didn't.
Movies.
I didn't. I didn't. Nope.
You know
not
what I
not for Genesis.
I was a little bit excited for Genesis, but like after the previous two had let me down so much, I had already kind of like metered my expectations. This is the most hyped I've been for a movie in like 10 years, probably.
My favorite direct sequel to Terminator 2 was T2 3D at Universal.
Oh.
You know what I want, Justin? I just want it to be good.
It's going to be good, George.
It's going to be good.
Oh, you know what I also want? Put it I want better CG, because the trailer does not prove that it's going to be good CG.
He's so nitpicky.
What are you talking about?
The CG doesn't look great.
Okay, but it's a trailer. They
got time. They got time.
Yeah, it doesn't have the final CG.
They got time to make it right.
You're a filmmaker. You know this.
I do know this.
Okay.
But, you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
It is Tim Miller, so.
Got to stand up for my CG Tim Miller in here, I mean, man.
Deadpool is a fucking amazing movie.
Yeah.
You don't like Deadpool?
Yes.
You think it's amazing because Tim Miller wrote it.
Be gone.
He helped it, yeah.
You didn't like Deadpool?
It's all right. Like, I don't think Tim Miller knows how to direct is my problem.
There's no pleasing George.
We're going to give you the next Terminator movie to do, and then we'll see how...
I don't want that. No, that's a mountain you can never really successfully climb.
There you go.
That's why I don't think they should be doing it. They should have left it alone.
But I disagree.
I completely disagree. I'm so excited for
this. I think there's more stories that could have been told. They just weren't told, right, with the subsequent
They did, movies, with the Sarah Connor Chronicles.
It's one of the best franchise universes
you're
ever.
Right. He's right. Sarah Connor Chronicles
it was good.
Was fantastic. It was amazing.
Exactly. And then,
except for the ending, they just never come back to tell you what happened.
Did you know there was two?
The show was canceled. It was like, oh, we're done.
There was two Sarah Connors.
They could have made a comic book.
They could have, but...
I figured that one out. I'm like, oh, yeah, there was two Sarah Connors that were in Game of Thrones.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah.
Huh. How about that?
Small world.
Yeah.
After all.
Bum, bum.
All right. So let's move on to Marvel. Before we get into the big news.
The starlings of I want to talk Comic-Con.
About, I've been catching up on Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. S.H.I.E.L.D.? Not the whole S.H.I.E.L.D. I really dig the show. It's gone weird places.
It has.
But they have announced that season 7 will be the last season.
Yep.
It's about damn time.
I need to get caught up.
The last season I watched was like 4, I think.
I didn't watch season 6.
Whichever one
that
had Ghost Rider, that was the last one I watched.
Was that four or five? Three,
no, that was 4.
That was 4.
5 is when they all went in space.
Right. So that was the last season that
I definitely did not watch that one.
It was kind of hard to get into.
I don't remember anything about space.
It was slow to get into, but it picked up. And, you know, it was kind of cool because you got to deal with the Kree quite a bit. So that was interesting.
Yeah.
See, I like the Ghost Rider episodes.
Ghost Rider episodes.
But, like...
He was in Terminator Dark Fate.
But, yeah, he is the Terminator. But, like... When Ghost Rider wasn't on, it was so boring.
It was. I'm sorry. You're right. And you know, I was a Ghost Rider fan from like when I was a kid.
I liked the characters on the show,
and,
so I don't care.
You know, of course, my mom hated it. Hi, Mom. My mom hated that I was reading these comic books with this hellish devil looking skull flaming.
That's why I liked it.
Motorcycle metal. Dude. And I loved it. It was fantastic. So, and I say that because I'm a huge Johnny Blaze fan. Johnny Blaze is just, there's nothing like the original Ghost Rider. So,
the Nicolas Cage movie?
The best one.
Having said that.
I said the Nicolas Cage movie?
Yeah. That was a pretty.
I'm joking.
Excuse me?
He played Johnny Blaze.
Yeah, no. No, we don't talk about that. That was a disappointment. Nicolas Cage was the wrong guy.
Nicolas Cage was not acting in those movies.
he was being himself.
He really pisses that kind of fire. When he pisses, it pisses that amount of fire.
It was ridiculous. But, you know, and so I thought they did a really good job with this other guy. I can't remember his name, but. You know, I think
Robbie Reyes.
Yes,
Robbie Reyes.
So what I didn't like was the fact that he has what's called the penance stare, which I thought was a little weaker than the whole "let me grab you and
burn your soul."
Yeah. I mean, Ghost Rider grabs you and lights you on fire, and your skin doesn't burn; it's your soul that burns. That is more. That's worse than making you feel bad. And stare you until you feel bad.
It's the shame stare your mom gives you.
Johnny Blaze had it too.
Fair enough.
Like back in the 70s, it was just shown differently.
Yeah, okay. True. Fair enough.
The penance stare is actually like an okay like title for it, I think. But I mean, it was definitely different with Ronnie Reyes.
Absolutely.
All right. So let's move on to the big enchilada. Saturday night of the con, Marvel had their big Hall H event.
With zero footage, what I understand.
I don't know. Probably zero haven't footage, filmed a lot of it yet.
Oh, actually, no. I take that back. They showed footage from Black Widow, but that's the only footage they showed.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah.
So let's go down the list. We have them in order. So the first one they talked about that Kevin Feige was talking about, Black Widow, May 1st, 2020. Taskmaster is supposed to be the villain in this movie.
Finally.
Yes.
I know.
Like, Taskmaster's either my first or my second favorite villain in the Marvel Universe. Like, I love Taskmaster.
He's a badass.
If you're not your first, who would be your first?
Bullseye. I love Bullseye. Okay. Bullseye and Taskmaster are the two best villains in the Marvel
Universe. Bullseye,
huh? I love Bullseye. Huh. He's great. Right on. I don't like the interpretation they did in Daredevil Season 3.
Colin Farrell?
I actually liked him better than Colin Farrell's Bullseye.
I mean, neither one's great. I'll give you that. But I mean, he's supposed to be like the Joker. He's supposed to be an enigma that comes out of nowhere.
Exactly.
He's
an assassin. Yeah.
I just fought him in Marvel Ultimate Alliance.
He's not supposed to be an FBI agent who kind of turns bad.
I feel you.
Okay,
that.
I haven't seen that season. I haven't.
But Taskmaster, he's a villain that should have shown up in the Marvel Universe, Cinematic Universe, a long time ago. He should have had Crossbones' place.
Yeah.
And he should have been a consistent villain, recurring villain.
Well, they probably didn't want to kill him off.
Well, they should have introduced Hydra and had him be training Hydra agents to fight Captain America and the other Avengers. And then he could have been somebody that always got away until eventually they finally deal with him. But, like, I mean, that's how he was introduced in the comics.
Yeah.
Yep.
I love Taskmaster. I'm super excited to see him.
There's always the Falcon and Winter Soldier show for him to show up in.
And I'm sure he will. I'm sure Taskmaster is going to be a recurring character.
There's got, yeah, there's it
in the
there
movies
has,
going forward.
Exactly.
If they're
going
to utilize him here for this movie, they have to use him.
Well, it looks like they're setting up Hydra again, you know, with Baron Zemo taking his rightful place as the leader, and Taskmaster is going to be one of his underlings.
Yeah.
You know, and they're going to rebuild and go after the what's left of the Avengers.
So going back to Black Widow real quick, it's going to take place before the events of Infinity War.
So from what I understand and read, it takes place right after Winter Soldier.
Okay.
That's perfect. Yeah. And I think I read that too. Yeah. It's a direct tie into that. So
like, I think
which makes sense because they never really truly resolved that whole storyline.
Right. I'm glad they're not doing it like, hey, it's a prequel. They've already shown that backstory.
So the rumor is that since Scarlett Johansson's done after this. This is her, like, curtain call.
Right.
So the rumor spoiler that I've heard, that this takes place during that time, but she's also training with another person that we're going to see who will take the mantle of Black Widow once this movie's over.
Red Widow?
I don't know.
Probably.
I've never read the Black Widow comics to tell you.
I mean, they introduced her like 3 or 4 years ago in the comics for a reason.
Right. So
Plans, people.
They know what they're doing. So also starring in the movie, of course, Scarlett Johansson. Rachel Weisz, Florence Pugh. I don't know who she is. And then David Harbour as Red Guardian.
That'll be
supposedly. They don't know that for sure.
They confirmed that.
Oh, it is confirmed?
It's the Russian Captain America.
Yep.
All right. Yeah. Is that why he has the big-ass beard?
Yeah. Well, he's had the beard for a while, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
I'm excited for that. All of that sounds good to me.
I know.
At least they're not CG removing it.
Yeah.
True.
Henry Cavill, sorry.
Sorry, George.
I never saw Justice League, so I can't say anything.
You're lucky.
Yeah. You would pick it apart in so many ways.
He would tear that movie.
I hated Batman versus Superman, so I was like,
Justice League even more.
So we already sort of mention Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which will be the first show that's going to be coming out this fall. There's no confirmed date yet, but Disney Plus, which
does take place after Endgame.
It does. Yeah, because Disney Plus is out like November-ish?
November 16th.
Okay, there you go. So it's going to be after that. Daniel Brühl is going to be reprising his Baron Zemo role. And he's going to have the classic costume from the comics. They showed a video of him putting it on, right? I didn't see that.
That's what I read, that supposedly he put his purple mask
on. That's awesome.
Excuse me.
Like, he interrupted the press conference to say that he's coming after them, and he puts his mask on.
Very cool. The next movie, which was rumored for a while, they confirmed it, is The Eternals, November of 2020.
The Eternals,
Now, I don't know a lot about The Eternals. I know some about it, but it's going to be the same thing as...
I don't think much people do.
Like, the same thing with Guardians of the Galaxy. It's going to become in the zeitgeist soon.
You think so?
I love Marvel Cosmic. I mean, like, I've heard rumors that Adam Warlock's supposed to appear in the next movie, which I'm so excited.
I read an article today. They're looking at the guy from Stranger Things.
The douchebag brother.
Yeah.
So, here's the thing. with the Eternals coming out, it does open the door to some of the characters I thought they would show in the next Guardians movie, which Adam Warlock is one of them. Mm-hmm. So,
they're teasing Adam Warlock in the Guardians.
Yeah, they did. So, but we didn't see him again. So I was kind of hoping he would be a part of the whole Endgame or Infinity War. But that all that being said, I mean, with Adam Warlock and the Skrulls and the Kree, I mean, there's so many rich stories that can be told that
and the
don't.
Brood. I would love and to see the a horror movie
and
with the brood.
Exactly.
Like, that should be the X-Men movie.
I hope it is, because they need to redeem themselves with that Phoenix crap. So anyway, my point is,
I saw that shit.
I'm sorry.
I didn't watch it. It's the first superhero movie I've skipped.
Yeah, just don't.
I think a lot of people skipped that, honestly. I think you're right.
But the Eternals, I don't know if you know what you know about them. They were created by the Celestials. We were introduced to the Celestials in Guardians. Although I didn't like how they kind of...
How weak they made them?
The Celestials are... You talk about cosmic beings.
They're the seven most powerful beings in the universe.
Exactly. So, the groups. I mean, when you start talking about the most powerful beings in the universe, they're right there. So they created the Celestials, and then, of course, the Deviants are an offshoot of the Eternals. The Celestials created the Eternals, and the Deviants are offshoots of the Eternals, and Thanos was a Deviant. So
he is very deviant.
All right.
But he's related to the Eternals, so there might be some...
So powerful.
Yeah, there might be some... I wouldn't necessarily think there would be we'll see Thanos, but there might be some mention of him, because they're going to have... If you got the Eternals, you're going to have Deviants, so...
And honestly, there's a good chance Thanos is not gone forever.
It's possible. I mean, how many times have we seen Thanos show up in the comic book with the gauntlet, with the stones? I mean...
I wish they had done more with his relationship with death in the first movies.
Well, that's the problem they have, is... The whole reason it wasn't just want to equalize the
well, they can bring him back.
They made him altruistic, and he's supposed to be selfish.
He's supposed to be super selfish. He's in love with death, Lady right. Death. Death is who I'm wooing death by doing this.
Now that the Marvel Fox merger and all that is all good, they can do Thanos Deadpool movie where they're fighting over death.
Can you imagine a world where we get a Puck standalone movie? How amazing would that be?
Wait.
Just Alpha Flight in general, dude.
Not that Puck.
Oh,
the Infinity Watch Puck.
Oh, yes.
Love
yes.
That.
I was thinking of Alpha Flight too.
I was too, because I was like, man, I forgot.
There's two
Alpha Pucks. Flight. We can have Alpha Flight. So anyway, yeah, you're right. That would be amazing.
So,
absolutely.
I don't know a lot about the Eternals. I need to do a little bit more reading before the movie comes out. But so here's the cast.
They have sexy ass Selma Hayek in it. That's all I know. Mm-hmm.
Wait. Tell us what you really think.
Is she sexier than Henry Cavill?
Just slightly.
Okay. So you have.
She has a nicer ass. That's all it is.
But not an,
not
yeah,
abs,
nothing
not,
else.
Not abs,
yeah. Have you seen his abs?
I've seen his abs. All right. Keep it in your pants.
I was.
All right. So casting of this movie, Kumail Nanjiani is Kingo. Brian Tyree Henry, wasn't he from Get Out? Right.
No, I don't know.
Oh, is that guy?
I see.
I think that's him.
Oh, that's cool.
You're talking about the guy from Atlanta?
I haven't seen Atlanta. He's the friend. Wasn't he the friend on Get Out?
I don't know. I'm bad with names.
Okay, moving on. We'll look it up. Of course, you said Salma Hayek. She is the team leader Ajax. Richard Madden, no relation to John, is Icarus. Liam McHugh.
I don't know half of these people.
Is Sprite? She was the young girl. Don Lee is Gilgamesh. I think he's the villain.
Who's Don Lee?
I don't know.
That dude.
Yeah, he's the guy from Atlanta.
Yeah.
Okay. Lauren Ridloff is Makari, and you have Angelina Jolie as Cena.
So in the Eternals also were part of Marvel, sort of, you know, giving us characters that you've got these beings that took on mythology. So if you'll notice all these mythological names for the characters, so that's the other thing as well. So
she's supposed to be like Athena.
Yeah. And Thanos, the word Thanos itself means death. So if you think about the names, I mean, these are,
or it's a derivation from Thanatos.
Yep.
Which means,
yep.
Thanatos.
I know that. All right. So That's going to be exciting. There's more cosmic stuff in the Marvel Universe is always good. Yes.
That's the best area.
I mean, anytime you deal with the power cosmic, you've got all these different beings that can be pulled into it. Galactus and...
Not the Cloud Galactus.
I mean, the actual Galactus.
Fantastic Four is back home. I mean, so yes,
we've got to have Galactus.
Hopefully it won't be Dr. Doom finger-banging everybody.
I don't want to see it.
That's a different movie that I've seen.
That's the porn parody.
That's the real movie, unfortunately. He's walking around like finger guns, zapping people. It was the worst.
That was their homage to Spider-Man 3.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. So
February 12th in 2021, we're going to have Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings.
I'm super excited about that.
I'm stoked about that, too.
Because they're trying to do like a legit martial arts movie with it.
Yeah.
But I don't. The only thing that I wonder about this is how they're going to tie it into the other schools of martial arts that exist within that, you know, Seven Rings thing of Marvel.
Yeah.
Because Iron Fist is like such a prominent character in that universe.
Yep.
And if they don't include Finn Jones in this
somehow. Yeah, I've heard rumors that, okay, so the four defenders from the Netflix series are supposed to be introduced slowly into the Marvel Cinematic Universe, like one here, one here. This makes sense to put Finn Jones into Shang-Chi.
I really hope they don't do that.
No, I really hope they do.
I hope they do.
Because I hope they introduce Mike Coulter as Power Man, and it slowly builds up to Mighty Avengers. Like, I want to see a Mighty Avengers team with Luke Coulter. I mean,
that's fine. Luke Cage can be in it.
Amazing.
Not the Finn Jones guy.
He's Iron Fist.
No, he's not.
He is terrible.
No,
terrible.
You didn't watch season two.
I don't need to. I saw the trailer.
Yes, you do.
You absolutely need
I don't.
Yeah. I actually haven't yet.
The guy is terrible.
It is well done.
The season one was so terrible.
Okay, season two will redeem it.
Marvel has done almost perfect.
I agree.
They made some missteps with the TV shows here and there.
Yeah.
And Thor, the second Thor movie
was a little...
I actually really like Dark World, but... Every single Thor movie has a different tone.
Fair enough. Every single Thor movie. The third one's my favorite. So.
But like, there's so much open now. Now that they have access to the Fox characters, like, I think there's a real good chance we can see a Moon Knight show.
We can see mutants. They can actually say mutants.
Yeah, mutants would be amazing. Yeah.
They said mutants.
I want to see a new mutant show.
I want to see the new mutants movie.
Well, that's I don't know if that's gonna. That's not gonna. I think
they keep pushing.
I think
it
they
back.
Tabled it, man. You know, because they were gonna release it as a horror movie.
I think they're gonna. What thing is
which I thought like was the interesting,
bear,
but
the
Shadow King.
Shadow King.
Yeah.
Shadow
you
King
know what I bet they're gonna so do? Good. They're gonna probably release it with the Disney Plus app.
That makes the most sense.
But they used him in Legion, so maybe that's why they shelved that idea.
Hmm.
Did you guys watch Legion?
Really? I watched season one.
The show is amazing.
I haven't seen season three yet, though.
I need to go back and finish it.
I'm in the middle of season two, so.
Season two is awesome.
That show is super trippy. I love it.
Yeah, it's great.
A guy named Shmi Liu is playing Shang-Chi, and I don't really know who he is.
He's huge in China.
Is he?
Yeah.
Very cool. Unfortunately,
Tony Leung, too.
Yeah, Tony Leung is Mandarin. The real Mandarin,
not that crap we saw in
That's
Iron
right. And Awkwafina's in it. I don't know. I just don't like her name.
What's your beef with Awkwafina?
Her name.
He said it like four times today. Like every water. Time he says it with such disdain, and he's like, that Awkwafina.
I don't like that water. I like Nestle water.
That's just her YouTube.
Why is her name not Ozarka?
That's just her. That's not her real name.
What's her real name?
I have no idea, but it's not
Awkwafina.
What
is Awkwafina?
It's her stage name. It's what she went by as a comedian.
But, okay. All right.
Carrie's too old for it.
Old man Carrie over here.
All right. So the next movie or TV series we're going to talk about is Disney Plus's WandaVision.
Oh, yes.
There's a couple different ways they can go with this.
Okay. Awkwafina's real name is Nora Lum.
Lum?
Lum.
L-U-M. No wonder she changed it.
Better than Awkwafina.
I remember her stand-up stuff. So
yeah.
She got really big through YouTube.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. It was pretty funny. But
WandaVision takes place after Endgame somehow.
You were talking about how there are so many different ways they can go with it. As long as it ends with the situation with the House of M.
That's what the rumor is.
If it ends there, I am
So okay. I will be what's in the ending love of with House this of show. M?
She kills almost everything she go, in the world.
She goes crazy and basically just says no more mutants and changes it just like that.
Scarlet Witch is one of the most powerful non-eternal celestial.
Yeah, I think creatures. She's isn't she Omega level?
Yeah, she's an Omega level mutant. Yeah, just like Magneto.
Right.
Just like Professor X, you know, she's yep. one of the few. There's yep. like only been four or five.
Franklin Richards Molecule Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you think the WandaVision show is going to be about?
Well, it's either going to be like Wanda and Vision from the 90s, you know, their relationship
yep.
and how it develops and everything, and then could possibly lead into House of M, which would be very awesome.
That would be amazing.
Or alternatively,
which would include Luke Cage because yes. he was a part of yes, House of M.
It would, yeah. yes. I want more Luke Cage. Like, I love my culture.
Same here.
But maybe the Defenders characters could be introduced in these Disney Plus series.
The show's ended. Like, we got a surprise season of Jessica Jones that yeah. nobody knew yeah, was coming. Exactly. And it was excellent.
Well, it was because great. They had it in the can already.
It was excellent.
They had nothing else better to do
I'm really
with
hoping
it.
That, like, well, when Disney starts their Disney Plus service, they don't just let those shows go by the wayside. They continue them.
So. Yeah.
I hope so.
They're all so good. The only one that's not great is season one of Iron Fist. That's the only one. Every other
and
one
and season
is
two
good.
Of Luke Cage.
Season two of Luke Cage was great.
What are you talking about? You and I watched great. Them. We watch a totally all different.
Right. I will turn his mic off.
But anyways, the other possibility for WandaVision is the Tom King storyline.
Yes, I would be so down for that.
Where, where Vision builds himself a family.
That is my favorite Vision storyline of all time.
So would it be like, well, since he's dead, right, and this takes place after Endgame, would it be like Scarlet Witch discovers that she has the power to create her own version of Vision?
Hmm.
Like it's all an illusion, and then she's like, you know, trying to deal with depression this way by making that.
Soul Stone is such a tricky thing.
Yes.
That when Cap goes back to return everything, he obviously can't go to Volmer and return the Soul Stone.
Right.
But there are plenty of other people and characters and whatever that could do that or could somehow bring Vision back to life from inside the Soul Stone, including Adam Warlock.
Yes. Or he can get Tony Stark. I was thinking about this. You can get Tony and Bruce Banner to create another version of Vision with the same.
Tony's dead.
This is before he goes back in time.
Yeah. It's possible too that they could rebuild the body and then just re-implant the Soul Stone because every person who's ever sacrificed himself for the Soul Stone, their soul is trapped inside of it.
Exactly.
So it wouldn't be hard for them to use that to just bring Vision back to life.
That would mean Black Widow and Gamora.
But the way they played it in the movie, they played it as a Vision didn't have a soul, though. They played it like he... I don't know. It was like he was powered by the stone all along.
But do you think if Vision does get rebuilt, and do you think if it goes the Tom King route, he builds his own family, so we're going to get Viv and all that kind of stuff?
I think we're going to get a version of it, probably.
We certainly could. It'll
because Viv is a huge part of the Marvel comic series universe now.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, really, Marvel has so many different directions they could take.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
I think I would prefer the House of M version more than
Oh my gosh, me too.
But it would still be cool to see the Tom King version.
And how would that lead into Doctor Strange? Because this show is supposed to be a direct tie into Doctor Strange.
Yeah, because she played a big role in Doctor Strange.
It could be that this is just an alternate universe where that's happened, where Vision has created his own family or whatever. And then when Doctor Strange starts multiverse hopping, he takes Scarlet Witch with him somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And they find Vision and she convinces him to come back. I mean,
maybe.
All the doors are open now for Marvel, which is amazing.
So that segues right into the next movie, which is May 7th, 2021, which is Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, the first Marvel Cinematic Universe horror movie.
Flagged as a horror movie,
Flagged as a horror movie. Nightmare is
PG-13, yeah.
Nightmare is such a...
I don't know. They haven't... Well, we don't know that yet.
No, it could Feige came out. He said, like, oh, this is a horror movie, and then Feige jumped in and said, no, it's still PG-13.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, still, okay. I mean, with the character Nightmare was a...
Nightmare?
I'm trying to remember the comic books that I've seen him in, but it's one of those sort of obscure characters that didn't get a whole lot of feature, but he's dealt with a lot of...
Doctor Strange villains.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I see that as being, something new to give to us that isn't rehashed. So
yeah, I love that characters like Doctor Strange haven't really had a lot of their backlog looked at.
Exactly. Wise. Right. Exactly.
And Nightmare is kind of an interesting character to pull in and put there for him. I mean, we're obviously going to get Dormammu because in the third or fourth Doctor Strange movie, that's going to be the big villain.
Exactly.
Again.
Yeah, he hasn't really defeated Dormammu.
He just
pretty much. Yeah, it's true.
Dormammu's monstrously powerful, but I mean, you could also see Mephistopheles. You could also see
Mephisto would be amazing. I would love to see him.
I would love to see Blackheart come back, but like the real Blackheart, not the shitty one we got in the Ghost Rider movie.
Forgot about
Can
that.
Can we stop talking about that? The two Ghost Rider movies.
But Ghost Rider never happened.
But Ghost Rider and Doctor Strange are so closely tied to the same subsect of villains.
Well, and that brings that up. I mean, because of that, because we've got all this multiverse of, you know, of magic and mysticism, I mean, Ghost Rider could be brought back as a legitimate character.
What about the setup that they set up in Doctor Strange 1, that Chiwetel Ejiofor actor? Who did he play?
Scar.
What's his name?
Wasn't he Scar?
He's played Scar in the Lion King movie.
Yeah.
But I forgot the name of the character he played in Doctor Strange.
I know. I can't remember right now.
They laid him up to be like the next big villain. Yeah, and so if he's not going to be the next big villain in the sequel, then he has to be the one in the third.
He's just another mysticism user, right?
I don't know.
He was kind of disenfranchised by the whole...
Baron Mordo. Baron Mordo is definitely going to play a role. Yeah. Like, he has to. I couldn't remember which character he was.
But. Sorry, I didn't remember the name either.
Yeah, he'll definitely be back.
Absolutely.
But, I mean, he's the kind of guy who opens up portals and brings more sinister things for Doctor Strange to fight into the world. He himself is not necessarily a threat. It's just his lack of training, lack of knowledge, and desire for chaos that creates more threats for the world. Right.
I'm looking forward. I like Doctor Strange. You know, you had to go through the typical, you know, backstory, how he became Doctor Strange. But after that...
That was a good backstory, too. As backstories go, that's actually a pretty good one.
And they said, this movie, they already said, this is based on Jack Kirby. Everything about this movie is the Jack Kirby multiverse looking. I'm like, that's awesome. I'm down.
Yep, absolutely.
I wanted to like Doctor Strange.
I know you did.
I liked it.
I liked it, too. All right. Loki is going to be another series on Disney Plus, spring 2021.
Oh, this is so exciting.
It is. All right, so...
Somebody's happy over here.
She's waiting for that Loki pokey stick.
Right?
My only concern with this is that they're doing Loki and his storyline while Endgame is going on.
So, yeah, in Endgame, if you remember, this is not spoiler, sorry... He steals the Tesseract in the past. So the version of Loki that's going to be in this series is not the reformed Loki. It's the mischievous Loki who's...
The asshole Loki.
The asshole Loki who's looking to destroy everything and rule.
It's the Loki we all love.
It's the one we love. That's right.
Yeah. But it's going to deal more with time travel, which is always a very hard to write thing.
Mm-hmm. So if what I understand, this show is supposed to be him just kind of popping up at important moments throughout Marvel history.
I hope it's not just that.
I hope it isn't either.
See, they did a pretty good job in Endgame with the time travel stuff. They made it feel like Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey with superheroes. Like, it was great. But writing it for
TV show...
That was
my favorite part of the movie. I'm sorry. I just... Time travel, especially that time travel. It's like, let's just revisit everything we've done from the inception.
Can you agree it could have been so much worse?
Yeah.
I expected worse.
They did a really good job.
They did. They held it together. I just was
the
a
best
little...
part is when Hulk was seeing himself and being very embarrassed. I think it was the best part.
That was great.
I wish, since they're moving more progressively towards the modern era of comics and the stories they're telling.
Yeah.
You know, we're getting Carol Danvers' Captain Marvel. Yep. We're getting modern age, like, Kree and Skrull interactions and stuff.
Yep.
I would love to see, like, Loki, Agent of Asgard as this storyline instead of mischievous original Loki.
I don't think they're going to go there quite yet. I think they still have a little bit more with the older Loki.
They definitely
Loki
have
to do
a little bit of a bridge to get there.
Yeah.
But, like...
But who's to say that the Loki series is only one season? It could last longer.
Oh, it definitely could. They could get to that point. I just wish that the catalyst for it was not, evil Loki got the Tesseract again, and the Avengers are no more. Like, I wish that wasn't the catalyst for it. I wish it was like, you know, everything's ended you know, they beat Thanos, everything's back to normal, and then Loki gets bored with being good, and he's like, I'm going to go mess with things.
Yeah.
Like, I wish that was just, it was just natural progression instead of like, here's the ultimate weapon again. Hope you don't destroy the Earth.
The first time I watched Endgame, when that scene happened, I'm like, oh, there's what happens. There's the Loki series right there. They just laid it out.
How long till Tom Hiddleston gets bored of playing Loki, though?
Probably not for a while.
You don't think so? Well, I mean, I'm pretty sure the paycheck is
I'm sure the paycheck's huge.
Yeah.
It's probably worth it.
He's going to do at least 2 seasons.
You think 2 seasons, right? I was thinking only one.
I think he's got at least 3 seasons.
I mean, I hope. Yeah. They need 3.
I mean, if
like
you think about
story.
It, I mean, how much screen time has Loki actually had, you know, in comparison to
three movies worth?
Yeah. What's that?
3 movies worth?
No, not a whole.
Maybe like a movie and a half's worth.
Maybe, yeah.
Okay, Thor, Dark World.
But he was only in like a third of those movies.
Yeah.
He's a majority in those movies.
No, he wasn't. Not in any of them.
I guess so.
I mean,
Dark World was a buddy cop with Thor.
It was enjoyable, not because I'm a Tom Hiddleston fan, but just because it was Loki, you know. And
keep it in your pants.
And Loki, you know, I just felt like we could see more. So I feel like there could be at least 3 seasons of Loki.
And there's a lot to draw from in Asgard that hasn't even been touched yet. I know Asgard's gone, but Roxxon exists, and they could certainly do the rebuilding of Asgard.
Like, but this is in the past, though. So Asgard wouldn't be gone at this point.
Yep.
That's true. It's very true.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of different directions they can take it.
All right, moving on. There is going to be an animated series called What If.
Yes!
I loved What If growing up.
I did too.
The best thing about this is 25 Marvel Cinematic Universe actors have been confirmed to reprise their roles in this series.
Oh, that is a beautiful thing.
They mentioned Paul Rudd, Natalie Portman, Michael B. Jordan, Samuel Jackson, and the Watcher is going to be Jeffrey Wright.
Of Westworld fame.
And
right on.
Hunger Games and stuff.
Yeah.
Was he in Hunger Games?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
The storytelling opportunities are almost limitless with What If.
If they don't do a Marvel Zombies episode, I don't want it.
I
want
to see a What If that's Marvel Zombies, and I want to see another What If that is Punisher kills the Marvel Universe.
Oh, yeah.
So, all right, you got to remember who is the target audience here, guys. It's animated, so it's going to be for 13-year-olds and younger.
No.
But, I mean, Marvel has done so Punisher killed the Marvel Universe, Wolverine killed the Marvel Universe, Deadpool killed the Marvel Universe. Deadpool one's by far the best.
Yes.
I haven't read that one yet, so.
Really, really good.
Ghost Rider, Cosmic Ghost Rider kills the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
It's going on right now.
A newer one.
Yep. That is going on right now.
Written by Paul Scheer, which is weird.
In the 80s and 90s, and there's so much they can draw from.
I know.
So many different storylines. They don't have to go base it on the comic books. They can base it on
What if the Phoenix Force possessed somebody else?
Yeah, like Wolverine. There's a Phoenix Force version of Wolverine, by the way.
There's so much stuff they could do. This is like open season form.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's going to be great. I'm excited for it.
I am super excited.
I'm kind of curious what the animation style is going to look like.
Yeah.
Because that's really what's going to make it or break it.
Fair enough, but
if they're going to be using the voices from the actual actors, it's going to have that realistic look, I think.
But if you think about like the direct-to-video Marvel animated movies.
Not been great.
And they have not been great.
The Avengers series have been pretty good, though.
The cartoon on Disney Plus or Disney XD or whatever?
Yeah, whatever they were.
Did you like the art style of the Planet Hulk animation?
That was probably the best one they've ever made.
If they use that art style, I think it would do really well.
That is one place where DC kills Marvel.
Oh, the for real. Movies. On the animated side of things?
Well, that's because they make them all Batman.
Most of them, yeah.
He's their best character. What do you want?
Man, everything's all Batman. The live action, the animated.
Anything. As long as Batman's in it, they're going to expect some dollar signs.
Exactly.
All right. So the next Disney Plus series that they mentioned is going to be Hawkeye.
Kate Bishop.
This is based. They show the little trailer.
It's based off the Matt Fraction series.
Based off the Matt Fraction series, which is great. It's phenomenal.
Which I haven't read yet. The only thing Matt Fraction stuff I've ever read is Sex Criminals.
Which is good, too.
Which is also good.
Yeah, so I want to read the Hawkeye series. I hear it's good.
I haven't read the Hawkeye series either.
It's really good.
Do they have it in, like,
Trade paperback.
Do you have the Marvel? You have Marvel Unlimited?
No, I need to get it.
It's a short one.
Because Marvel's coming out with some really great storylines.
There's a couple series.
I've got three trades for the first series.
I've got to get it because, I mean,
like
I'm just
14 something issues, maybe.
How much is it, though?
It's usually like 12 or 15
bucks. CheapGraphicNovels.com, half price graphic novels.
I'm going to look into it.
Oh, really?
Same thing for Amazon. It's half price mostly.
I'll look into it because I went back and I got like almost all of the X-Men comics going from the 60s all the way up to like 2005. So, yeah, in digital form.
Oh, okay. I was like, you got a mountain to read there.
I know, right?
Should have stopped at 2000. All right.
So, yeah, this is exciting.
Who do you think they would get to play Kate Bishop?
Isn't it going to...
There's a lot of potential actresses that could do it. I'd like to see Chloe Grace Moretz, honestly.
Oh,
for real.
I think she's athletic enough to do it, too.
After the first few seasons of Hawkeye, they'll have Kate Bishop, they'll have Hawkeye, Clint Barton. They need to make this into the newest West Coast Avengers series, where they were leading the team.
Oh, snap, with Wonder Man, yeah.
No.
Squirrel Girl.
They're supposed to be making a Squirrel Girl TV show.
Yes.
So last year,
sign me up.
Unfortunately, they didn't do. They only lasted about a year. They did a West Coast Avengers series last year. It was led by Kate Bishop, Hawkeye, mm-hmm. and Hawkeye.
Yeah.
It had Gwenpool in it. It had. Ugh. Yeah. She was actually. Well, hold on. I don't like her either. She wasn't that bad in it. It had America.
The worst character Marvel's created.
Hold on. It had Quentin Quire in it. It had America Chavez in it. And somebody else I can't remember.
I love Quentin Quire. He needs to be in more things.
Him and Gwenpool had a thing for each other.
That's so weird.
It was. Y'all got to read that. It was really funny.
I hate
really
all the Gwen
well
Stacy
done.
Characters. I used to love Gwen Stacy. I hate every single Gwen Stacy.
I do too. I really just
she
think they over
the Marvel.
Although I will say I was
Spider-Verse
not
was good.
I was not upset with her in Spider-Verse.
She was
so
fine. Like I went into it and I was like I'm going to hate this movie just because Spider-Gwen exists. But she was fine.
Yeah,
honestly,
yeah.
Just the
they
right
did a really
of her.
She's
they
a
did
playable
a
character
really,
in the Marvel
and they did a really good job of
Marvel Ultimate Alliance.
Yeah.
But, she's a playable character.
But that's what happened in the comics, too, because, like, Edge of Spider-Verse, she was great.
Yep.
Spider-Verse, she was great. And then it was 2 years of, have some more Spider-Gwen! I don't want any more!
Marvel does like to force their characters when they're popular down your throat, that's for sure.
Yeah, fair enough.
But that's a great series. Please, if you like really funny series, please read it.
I'll definitely check that out.
Yeah. It's great.
West Coast Avengers.
West Coast Avengers that came out last year
with Gwenpool. Mm.
Yeah, I know. Mm. I know. I had the same feeling going into it. All right, so there's one more movie they've announced that we have to talk about.
Yeah.
Everybody, keep it in their pants. Thor: Love and Thunder, November 5th, 2021. Taika Waititi is back as director, not as Adolf Hitler in this
one. Brilliant choice, by the way.
Yeah, it really is.
Yes.
He owns these characters now, I think.
When he directs, I think you can tell that he loves the material. It's so apparent. And I thought, you know, Ragnarok was just perfect.
Yeah. No, so. I agree. So this has been a little bit of controversial with some people.
My only complaint with Ragnarok was they made Hulk too jokey.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Yeah,
but he was
in the process of becoming
Smart Hulk.
He was supposed
to be in the
yeah.
midst of Planet Hulk, so it was kind of hard for me to like see Planet Hulk as like
he wasn't angry
Hulk.
Enough for Planet Hulk.
They were just combining
yeah.
the
story. Yeah, it wasn't.
I can see that.
Everything with Thor was great.
They need to do a proper Planet Hulk, or at least a proper World War Hulk.
So Jane Foster, Natalie Portman is back. She is going to be the mighty Thor. She's going to be worthy enough to hold Mjolnir. So that's great. What do you think about this? We have a special guest.
Come on. It's a female perspective.
No, it's great. I read the run, Mighty Thor, and I really enjoyed it. So, you know, it's exciting. There's some people that are kind of naysayers, but there's always going to be naysayers. But, I mean, it existed in the comics. It's not like it's something. They're just trying new.
This wasn't the first female Thor. This was not the first female Thor.
They're not gender bending. They're taking her as an established character, as Thor, and putting her into this movie.
It's
which is fine.
And it was a great storyline.
It really was.
Yeah.
It was great.
We were at dinner the other night when this article came up, and somebody lost their shit. Lost their shit for like 24 hours. We went to Half Price Books like right after dinner, and she's like, "I can't fucking believe it! I can't! I'm like freaking out! I can't believe it!" It was really funny to see.
Okay,
nothing wrong with getting excited. I mean, I was excited when I saw the news too.
Yeah,
Jason Aaron killed every single comic book he wrote that entire year.
Star Wars,
all the Star Wars stuff was great.
Yes,
the Mighty Thor stuff was amazing. Yeah. Like everything Jason Aaron has done with Thor for like the last 3 years has been excellent.
That's your next tattoo.
And I'm really excited for this. I like, you know, she has cancer. And that's the only the only questionable thing about it is that Natalie Portman is a very petite woman.
Yes.
And in the movie, she's going to have cancer because that's what leads to her becoming Thor.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to
when she transforms,
she has to bulk. She has to bulk up. Right. Yeah, she has to.
You know, it's like a He-Man transform. Yeah.
They're
going to
have
a one for one.
They're going to have to CGI it or do something.
There's
probably
going to
be padding,
mocap, and then just do CGI on top of her or something. I don't know.
Got to be something because
there's going
to be some serious padding, like Shazam padding.
Unless she's gonna hit the gym and, but still, she's still a petite girl. So
she's 5'1" and 95 pounds.
Yeah, so I mean,
and shit,
that's not gonna impress me as Thor. I'm sorry.
I mean, they can do a lot to make her look taller.
Fair enough.
You know, it's just
look at Tom Cruise.
Yeah, the bulkiness is an issue. But
they're gonna have to get a lot of fucking.
Marvel has done so many things
Apple
right.
Boxes.
They'll figure it out.
I have faith.
Yeah, I
agree.
They'll figure it out though. So isn't Chris Hemsworth supposed to be in this too?
Yeah, well, he's in it.
Yeah. So
with Tessa Thompson, who they actually they came out with an article that she's going to be the first LGBTQIA whatever.
What?
Character in the Marvel Cinematic Universe as a superhero. Because they had the Russo brother in Endgame. He was a superhero, but.
Right. I'm looking forward to this. I think, especially if they try to adhere as much as they can to the comic run, this will be pretty interesting. I'm curious to see how, if they have an end in sight with, you know, with Thor returning as, or Odin's son returning as Thor and becoming the All-Father, and with Jane Foster.
The rebuilding of
Asgard, and with Jane Foster becoming Valkyrie.
So how's this all going to work with the way Endgame ended?
Right. I was about to say that. Endgame, he takes off with the Guardians.
Yep.
And so, the fact that Guardians 3 is nowhere close to being in production, and this is going into production next
year. This will be out way before Guardians 3.
So how is that going to make sense?
I feel like this is only going to be half the story. This is going to be her becoming Mighty Thor,
her
dealing with the Asgardians who are now stranded on Earth, her like maybe joining up with the Avengers team and helping them.
I have a feeling
it's going to be like that for a while, and then when the second Mighty Thor movie comes out, that's going to be when Asgard is revisited, brought back to life.
There's so much rich material there. I mean, we all know this, and Marvel's going to be brilliant about how they bring it in, but I see some
feeling,
of those events
coming. I have a feeling Love and Thunder is going to include the Guardians in the beginning of the movie, at least, because they got to continue that storyline that happened in Endgame.
That's true.
So they have to figure out where they're definitely going to be together in the beginning of this movie. He splits off at some point to take care of something. So, yeah, I'm excited for it.
Hopefully it's fun.
At the very end, Kevin Feige mentioned, "Don't think I forgot about Black Panther 2, Captain Marvel 2, Guardian of the Galaxy 3, and don't think I forgot about Fantastic Four or the Mutants." He didn't say X-Men, he said the Mutants, so there's a big plan.
Well, I think Marvel knows what they're doing by letting the X-Men franchise just kind of
It's got to sit for a while.
It does.
Absolutely. Because I know that the movies have done reasonably well, but for the fans, I mean, those movies are failures. I mean, honestly.
But there's so many X-teams that they don't have to do an X-Men movie. They could certainly do an X-Factor movie.
I would like to see X-Factor and
a Madrox movie. Like, if they just do a Multiple Man movie, I would lose my shit. Like, that would be the greatest thing
X Factor would be incredible, and it would be nice to see. I would like to see more of
a real X Force, not the one in X-Force Deadpool 2. X Force
is going to take some build up though, because X Force introduced the New Mutants first. And yeah, gotta like introduce Mojo and Mojo World, and like there's so much.
Do you think we'll see Longshot?
That's a long shot, but I hope so. I mean,
boom, boom. Surely we'll see like a better version of Shatterstar than we got in Deadpool 2. Yeah,
right.
But there's
so many mutants in there's so many characters in the X-Men world that they can play with.
Nightcrawler, more Nightcrawler.
If they can introduce one at a time, I mean, a couple here.
They could just do a Genosha storyline where there's the mutant prison and just start it from
there. It wouldn't even have to be necessarily an X-Men.
It could just be like some characters that we're familiar with from the X books.
Exactly.
One Genosha, and then there's all these other mutants that they've never introduced before. Or we could get like, you know, the Young Mutants, or the kids that become the Young Avengers, or
Avengers Academy
choir movie. Like,
I have a feeling a lot of the stuff is going to wind up on Disney Plus as a series.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm totally down for that.
There's so much they can do.
Lots and lots of rich material there. So
do a magic movie. How cool would that be?
I want to see a magic movie. Magic was one of my favorite characters.
She ties into Doctor Strange
absolutely.
Ghost Rider as much as anything else.
Yep. That's right.
That'd so then really we cool. can see characters like Belasco come into play. Arcade would be so cool. Arcade would be amazing. So,
all right, there's a lot of ideas here.
Yeah.
Now, what about Fantastic Four? Are you guys down for Woo-hoo! A good version of the Fantastic
yes.
Four?
Yes. Well, there's already a good one. It's called The Incredibles.
Okay.
Like I said, as long as there's no finger banging Doctor Doom, I'm in for it.
Do you guys have any ideas who would you cast as any
Chris Evans as Human Torch? No.
Chris Evans is the Thing.
Chris Evans is Mr. Fantastic.
Oh, well, he's old enough now. He could.
You know
who'd
be a good
off.
Mr. Fantastic? John Krasinski.
I've heard that already. Yeah.
Oh my God! Yes, I didn't even think about that. I'm watching The Office now. Yes. So
they want to get his wife to play the Invisible Woman.
Maybe
who?
His wife, Emily Blunt.
Oh yeah.
Maybe.
Honestly, I don't really care who they cast. They don't have to pick big names. They can pick people who've never heard of before. Just write a good, compelling story. Like, Fantastic Four
Galactus
should not be this hard to write.
It's
you
not.
You shouldn't make five terrible movies. Like, there's no reason.
It's not that hard. I never understood it. It's in every movie, I'm like, how is this so difficult? That's You've it. Got good material. Hell, do what...
They could do a Mole Man movie.
Do what Zack Snyder does and just shot for shot copy what the comic book does. I mean, that's all you got
to go. They don't have to go big.
You know what I'm talking about.
They don't have to do Doctor Doom in the first movie or Galactus.
No.
They could do Mole Man or Taking Over New York.
Absolutely.
And here's the Fantastic Four to save everybody.
I want to see.
I've heard a rumor that Avengers Tower in New York is going to turn into the Fantastic
Baxter,
Four.
It's turning
the Baxter Building.
They showed that in Far From Home a little bit.
Yeah. Yep.
The very there's end, there a, like
it's a, like
a one, two,
it's a
three,
little,
four,
it's a little teaser. It's the Baxter.
But I mean,
building,
all that's
so. Going to
lead, all of that's going to lead into a Franklin Richards storyline.
Oh hell yeah, Mr.
Onslaught. Can you imagine?
Yeah,
Onslaught,
Onslaught and oof, boy, we're getting back.
Can't
those
compete with
again.
The all Marvel zombies over here.
I love Marvel comics.
I want a Marvel zombies movie.
Yeah, me too. And Marvel is just doing it all right. You know, I feel sorry for all the DC fans out there because DC Warners is just effing it up, dude.
That is very true.
So it's just not happening. But
all right, so a lot of good stuff from Comic-Con. Did you guys get anything from the show? Did you buy any like collectibles or anything?
I didn't go to the show. How could I buy anything?
You buy stuff online?
I'm not going to pay a 45% markup.
Well, no, they did shared exclusives with like all the GameStops and Targets and stuff.
They did.
Erica picked up the two Aliens, the Simpsons ones, the Treehouse of Horror.
I saw that. I thought that was pretty cool.
That's sweet.
Pretty
cool. I got some of the Ghostbusters pops that they did.
The anniversary ones?
Yeah, the anniversary ones.
Those weren't Comic-Con exclusive, though, were they?
They were debuted at Comic-Con.
Okay.
I don't think they're exclusives. But no, other than that, not really.
I got the two-pack, the Black Cauldron two-pack. And the green chrome Boba Fett.
My favorite thing I saw, aside from the He-Man figures, was the Mondo posters for Bill and Ted.
I saw that. Yeah, that was super cool.
So cool. And the It one they did. MondoCon's coming up in September. I'm hoping they'll do variants of both of those and we can snag them.
I was lucky enough. A buddy of mine was actually there and picked me up an Alex Ross lithograph for the Monkees.
It's very cool.
That's legit.
Only 50 of them were made. I got like number 17 signed by him. It's pretty amazing.
That's cool, dude.
I need to get a really good frame for that and hang it.
Wow. One of the things I saw, I hope Mondo is smart enough to re-release it, is that they did pins for Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Yeah, I saw that.
And I definitely need that in my life.
They did a Mondo record, too. The vinyl. Yes. I want that.
I want that as a print. I don't collect, yeah. I don't collect vinyl, well, but...
Just put it in a display case.
Yep. I'd rather have a bigger poster, yeah.
Do you have enough room on your wall, though?
I'll make room.
Or it'll just that's where I'm. He has a big pile of posters.
My whole office still needs to be in construction. What is going on?
All my toys, all my posters are all in boxes. So
I did also, my buddy that was there got me the Reaction, the Nuclear Blast limited edition Show No Mercy Slayer action figure.
Goathead Slayer guy.
Goathead Slayer guy.
With blood.
Oh, how about with that?
Blood splattered, yeah.
Nice. Right.
Blood splattered Slayer guy.
And he also got me an autographed poster of... Marvel Cinematic Universe so much. Marvel Ultimate Alliance, signed by some of the guys that worked on the game.
Nice.
Cool.
Pretty cool.
Pretty cool. So that's it for San Diego Comic-Con and all the news that we saw fit. So let's take a really quick break, and we're going to end this episode.
Woohoo!
Be right back.
So we're back. All these Marvel delights will have very marvelous endings.
I was about to say, isn't that marvelous?
Well done. I'm marveled at
your
commentary here.
So
you look marvelous.
I guess we should talk real quick about our sponsor, Carrie.
Please do. No, you.
Who is our sponsor again?
I would like you to do it.
Is it Marvel is our sponsor? I think is what I heard.
We talked about them enough. I wish they would.
You know.
Our sponsor is Tantrum Collectibles. So if you are looking to get Funko Pops, Band Presto, FX figures, all those cool collectibles, go to tantrumcollectibles.com. You want to save some money?
Sometimes.
You want to save 10%?
20% would be better.
I can save you 10%.
All right.
Put in the code MetalGeeks. Save 10%.
Where?
TantrumCollectibles.com.
There we go. That's right how on, you
right
say on. It.
Right.
But do they have Marvel stuff?
Yes, they do.
Oh, okay.
Okay, you know. Cause
it's pretty marvelous.
Awesome.
Ba-ba-dum-bump. And that's it, I guess. No? All right.
Okay, fine.
No?
I think I'm talked out. I don't know.
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh man, I can talk.
We could talk
two or three more hours. Oh, but
this
is your show.
I
really,
had a 3-hour Marvel Comics podcast.
I know. You and I, we should do our own podcast on Marvel.
I finally concluded while y'all are all like talking about Marvel zombie stuff, and I had a zoned out. Yeah, zoned out for
thinking about Henry Cavill.
That, and also I was trying to figure out why. I think I come to a conclusion why Lion King was so easily.
Oh, shit.
The worst movie ever. It's because Jon Favreau just wanted to be in good graces so he can just hurry the fuck up and do The Mandalorian.
The Mandalorian looks fucking amazing.
I know. Well,
did you see the
here.
So all he did was just like, all right, let's do a shot for shot. I don't give a shit. I gotta go do The Mandalorian.
Yep.
All right.
I can agree with that theory.
So
sure.
That's what I think. That's why.
Have you watched Chef on Netflix yet?
The cooking show?
The chef show is what it's called.
Yeah, I've seen some episodes. I pick random episodes to watch.
What does that have to do with anything?
Jon Favreau.
Jon Favreau's on
it's a cooking show.
Okay, gotcha.
Him and
he's super talented.
Roy Choi, is that his name?
The Asian guy who teaches him how to cook.
Yep.
Yeah. I watched the episode where Kevin Feige was on and the Russo brothers and Robert Downey Jr. and Tom Holland.
Yep. That was a good one.
Yeah.
All right. So thanks for tuning in to episode number 167 of the Metal Geeks podcast. As we said, it has been marvelous. If you're looking to find us on the interwebs, you can go to our website, metalgeeks.net. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave a review. Let people know about the show there. Of course, you can find us on Spotify and all the other cool places you download your
podcast. Anywhere you get your podcast.
Anywhere.
Right.
Social media, @Metal Geeks on all that. And where can they find you guys?
Justin, would you like to go?
You can find us at mindfudgecomedy.com. That's George and my podcast. We're also available on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, etc.
Yep.
You can find us on all of our social media as at mindfudgers. And if you'd like to follow me directly, it's at comicaljc.
And what about your comic?
Our comic is available at graybearcomics.com. That's graybearcomics.com. It's a great horror comedy story about two brothers who stumble upon Lovecraft and Tesla's left behinds and have to deal with all the fallout from that.
So nice.
It's pretty cool.
It's a fun comedy action romp.
As they should all be. And I'm in it too.
A lot of horror elements.
You are in a character in the comic.
I'm a character in the comic. It makes it worthwhile.
What do I need to be a character? I want to be a character.
$250.
Pledge to our next Kickstarter.
Okay. I will. This is awesome.
Where can people find you, sir?
Well, I don't have a show, but I'm on Facebook. I'm on LinkedIn. LinkedIn's probably the best way to find me, more on a professional level. It's just look up Sean Christian Bellinger on LinkedIn. You'll find me.
People can see your photography on the internet too?
Yes. You can go to ArtStation and look for Sean Bellinger on ArtStation. You'll see my portfolio of works. It is ever growing. I've got several pieces I've still got to add to it. So that's where you can find me. So yeah, ArtStation and LinkedIn are probably the best places. And then if you are so inclined, you can go check out Dreadnought, which is the game I worked on. That's on Steam.
PS4.
And on PS4, yes. If you have a PlayStation, that's a good place to play it, too. And then also Rhyme is on all the platforms. So it's
I should get you to sign my copy.
I would gladly do that.
All right.
Absolutely. So, yeah, you pretty much find me anywhere on social media. So that's it. Yeah,
cool. Well, that was a lot of fun. Any last things you want to talk about?
I just want to thank you guys for having me on. This was amazing.
Thank you for being on.
I want to thank you for being on.
Yeah, it was a pleasure having you on. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Probably way too much.
I guess, you know, keep it metal.
I was going to say keep it geeky, but keep it metal works, too.
Okay, there we go.
We should let our guests say it tonight.
There you go.
You want to say before
we do it, it is Metal Geeks, I just want to say I am an Anthrax fan, so just so...
Who?
Yeah, Anthrax.
I never heard of them. They ain't good.
No.
You and I love it. Oh, man, like he's throwing me under the bus. We have had this conversation.
I know.
We are...
You're talking to a dude with an Anthrax tattoo.
I know, brother. Right. But yeah,
I took a picture for Anthrax up there.
Oh, gosh. I mean, like, even back when they were doing like punk, I was a fan. So anyway, let's move on.
Word.
So, what do we get to say? Keep it metal?
Is that if you'd like to.
Both of us or just me?
You can do one at a time.
I've said it before.
I want to say. All right. So
I'll give you the whole honor.
All right. So
keep it metal. Keep it geeky.
All right. Well, I appreciate everybody being here and listening to me ramble on about the nerdy stuff that I like. And so right now, keep it metal and keep it geeky.
All right. Thank you, guys. See you next
time. Yeah, bitches.
Woo-hoo. Balls.
Yes.
Finally got those Henry Cavill balls in there.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, a podcast obsessed with comic books, Saturday morning cartoons, conventions, music, stuff from the 70s and 80s that nobody else remembers, and chickens. It'll be the silliest half hour of your week. You can find us at flopcast.net and on the ESO network.
I'm the mayor of Chicken Town, and I approve this message.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the T Public Store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hey, Geekazoids. Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.